atop the skyline of downtown Chicago to 38 states and Canada. Your host for this evening, Justin Kaufman.
It's Super Tuesday 2. Tonight in America, 312-981-7200. It's Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock. Got some election coverage for you tonight as the Democratic primaries that feature former Senator and Vice President Joe Biden versus Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, Tulsi Gabbard as well, Senator Gabbard, in a race for the nomination to get as many delegates as they can to get the nomination for President of the United States. Also, there are some Republican primaries as well. The incumbent, of course, the President, Donald Trump, running unopposed in those. States that are voting tonight: Idaho, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, Washington, and North Dakota, which will be doing caucuses. There are already some projected winners coming in. We'll talk about that tonight. We have a lineup tonight of pundits and experts and others who are watching the polls. Give us an understanding what to expect from the fallout of tonight's victories and defeats. And how it affects us here in Illinois who vote next week, next Tuesday. So we got so many great people coming on tonight. Very excited to talk with Marge Halperin, who will be coming up. Ryan Burrow's going to join us. Coming up here right after this break that's up next. Ryan was scheduled to cover the Biden rally in Ohio tonight. The Biden campaign and the Sanders campaign both canceling their rallies today amid fears of coronavirus. Biden was in Ohio. I believe so was Sanders. I think he was in Cleveland. Both of them canceling. It's coronavirus, of course, the number one story worldwide, even trumping the election. Tonight we're going to talk election, but we'll also talk a little bit about coronavirus as more cases have come online. The United States promised that there will be millions of test kits that will be available to people by the end of the week. They don't mean that you go to Walgreens and buy it. I mean it'll be available to physicians and others who are testing for possible coronavirus, COVID-19. And that should probably change the trajectory of the scope of this virus. Right now, the United States has only tested for 5,000. It's only tested 5,000 Americans. And so when you see some of these numbers, I talk about this every night, and I feel like I talk about this. I know I sound like a broken record, but it's important because some people might be tuning in for the first time. There is no doubt, just based on the way that math works, that there will be more cases of coronavirus. It's not worth being whipped into a frenzy or a panic or to put the hashtag breaking on anything. It's just a fact. The idea that 8 more cases came to Illinois or the fact that there were 60 plus more cases in the United States today, doesn't matter. There will be more. It's just the basics that there have only been 5,000 tests so far. Just to put it in perspective, South Korea, who's had, 60,000 maybe cases of coronavirus, have tested over 150,000 people. They were at one point testing thousands per day. They're still doing that. So it gives you an idea of where we should be. And now why that's happened, we're not sure. The CDC will say, well, you know, we had a high threshold for what we tested for back in the day or when it first started. Or many will say, pundits and critics will say, this is just bad government or that we have botched the testing procedures when it comes to this virus. We can talk about that later tonight as well. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. I'm Justin Kaufman. Ryan Burrow is going to join us from Ohio, and we'll kick off our election coverage for Super Tuesday 2 here on 720 WGN. It's Justin Kaufman at 720 WGN. I'm out with you till 11 o'clock tonight. We'll have the results of the election that's happening around the country, Super Tuesday 2, as they're calling it. And this is the only projection that's in right now is that Biden has won the state of Mississippi. Today, the former vice president was supposed to have a rally in Ohio that was canceled due to fears of coronavirus. Our own Ryan Burrow is there covering for ABC, and he joins us now. Ryan, thanks for joining us, man.
Justin, I had no idea that I would be spending my Tuesday night in an empty parking lot in East Cleveland, but here we are. You know why? Because this is where Biden was supposed to have his rally. It was supposed to be going on right now. But because of coronavirus, because of some of the statements made by health officials here in Ohio about fears and large groups of people and canceling sporting events, and they decided, you know what, we're going to scrap it. Bernie Sanders was supposed to have his event here this evening as well. Keep in mind, Ohio isn't even one of the states in play today.
Next week, right?
It's going to be next week, exactly. But they both wanted to be here to begin the process of drumming up some support. And instead, Joe Biden landed here in Cleveland, got off the plane briefly, got back on the plane, went to Philadelphia. He's supposed to have an event maybe about an hour or so, maybe an hour and a half. Bernie Sanders chartered a flight to Vermont. And it sounds like he'll be spending the evening there. I don't know if he's going to be doing media.
I was going to say, Ryan, who's canceling the event? Is it the city of Cleveland? Is it the state of Ohio? Who's canceling in the fact that Biden just goes to Philadelphia and has a different event?
The ultimate decision comes down to the campaign. Now, everything's political, obviously, in this realm, and we do know that Joe Biden just a few moments ago announced he's also canceling his event in Tampa, Florida. He's instead, earlier in the day on Thursday, going to be holding some kind of major media announcement about coronavirus, how he would handle it, the steps that need to be taken. So, you know, there is some politics playing into this, but, you know, it's interesting because you're seeing a lot of states now saying, look, we don't want sporting events where there are spectators. You know, the athletes can be there, parents, you know, if it's a high school event, essential personnel, they can all be there, but we don't want hundreds upon hundreds of people. Well, what's the difference between a sporting event and a rally, right? I mean, it's a basketball or it's a microphone. So, I mean, you still have a lot of people in very close quarters. So they're playing it safe, it seems like. You certainly don't want to risk losing a news cycle by someone with coronavirus coming to your event and spreading it to, you know, potentially hundreds of people. So that's part of it. But another part of it, too, is, you know, heeding to the warnings that government officials are making and trying to show that, you know, you follow the rules and that you, you know, have a calm, cool, collected attitude about this whole thing.
Ryan, the Biden campaign has to feel very confident right now. Of course, projections that he won the state of Mississippi, and this could be a pretty dominant night for the former vice president. From your reporting, do they feel confident about tonight? Do they feel that they are going to sort of move away from Senator Sanders in this race for the Democratic nomination?
That's the hope, especially in Michigan. Now, Michigan is very interesting because it was 4 years ago I was in Michigan for the primary at the Hillary Clinton Victory Party headquarters in Detroit. That victory party never happened. It kind of fizzled out because Bernie Sanders upset Hillary Clinton big time. She went into that primary with double-digit leads in all the polls, yet Bernie Sanders somehow upended her. And, I mean, the fact of the matter is Bernie Sanders did very well among the working class, especially working-class white men. And that was something that Hillary Clinton struggled with throughout her entire campaign all the way up through the general election. He won Michigan. Now, much different scenario this time around, although the numbers still look the same. Joe Biden goes into tonight, pretty good numbers going into the primary. Is Bernie Sanders going to be able to pull off that shocker upset again? Well, Joe Biden's base is a little older, whiter, and working class. So they tend to kind of share the same portion of the voter base. And as a result of that, Bernie Sanders has not really found his footing over the last couple of weeks. And if everything goes according to the polls and some of the exit polling we're seeing as well, it could be a really rough night for Bernie Sanders. He doesn't want to dig deeper because next week you've got Illinois, Florida, Ohio, Arizona on the docket. And you don't want to be going into those states down triple digits.
Ryan Burroughs covering the presidential primaries, of course, tonight for ABC and also for us here at WGN Radio. He is in Ohio in a parking lot in East Cleveland where the Biden campaign was supposed to do their rally tonight. Is it a total wash if Bernie Sanders tonight does well in the Pacific Northwest, if he goes and wins the state of Washington or maybe possibly Idaho? Is that enough for any momentum if he loses Michigan, or does he have to win Michigan, Ryan?
You know, we're getting to a point where it's all kind of visual when you look at the numbers underneath their smiling faces, because I mean, even after tonight, and I do want to point something out, we probably won't have official numbers from Michigan tonight for one reason. They opened up absentee ballots. You no longer needed to have an excuse for an absentee ballot, and what they saw is a flood of absentee ballots, up 55% from 2016. So that alone, they couldn't even start counting those ballots to today. So they've already told us, don't expect to hear anything solid or anything firm potentially until tomorrow. Could get some numbers in today, but expect those full numbers tomorrow. That being said, by the end of tonight, only 47% of the delegates will be accounted for. So Something weird happens, coronavirus takes a weird turn, something happens with Joe Biden, maybe you've got other issues, other factors at play. So there is still room for Bernie Sanders, don't get me wrong, but you definitely want to keep the momentum in your direction, and losing tonight won't help you next week when you go into those big states.
Next week's obviously us being here in Chicago and Illinois, obviously Illinois, they talk about Illinois being kind of a bellwether. A representative of the country we live in, all the different voting blocks that are here. This is a more representative state than, say, Iowa or New Hampshire, or even some of the states that are voting tonight. Do you see it that way, that Illinois will be a much better sort of temperature gauge for how Democrats are going to vote?
It's possible. I mean, you know, they're all little slices of a much bigger pie. And, you know, what we saw in Iowa, what we saw in New Hampshire, may not have been very representative of the United States. So you get Mayor Pete Buttigieg wins in Iowa. Holy cow. Who would have thought that? That's going to give you enough steam. But Iowa's extremely white and, you know, agriculturally motivated. So maybe different than a state like California, different than a state like Florida. So, you know, it's I haven't really heard a lot of talk about Illinois specifically, especially when you look at Ohio and Florida being there and those being such crucial states for the Democrats come election day in November. That being said, we know that Bernie Sanders spent some time in Illinois. We know he went to Chicago. He had originally planned a rally today in Rockford that was canceled. Joe Biden's going to be in town for a fundraiser as well as a rally on Friday. There's a lot of money to be had there in Illinois, that's for sure, as far as the fundraising goes. So that's a big reason why a lot of people go. But I don't know. We'll have to see how this all plays out and how much time and money is spent in the state of Illinois.
Ryan, it's interesting because of the political playbook, and we see this on both sides of the aisle, whether it's the Democratic primaries, we see with Biden and Sanders both in Cleveland. But the president has been doing rallies where he swoops in when it's a Democratic primary just to kind of steal focus and have big rallies around. We've seen this in South Carolina and some of the other states in Super Tuesday. With coronavirus changing the game on the playbook on how you set up primaries or get the vote out.
Sorry, that's my motorcycle right there.
It's your motorcycle.
Yeah.
Is this going to be a different kind of campaign? I mean, you're not going to have... I mean, obviously the president is right now very busy with his hands full on what this country is doing about the coronavirus. Does it change the way that these primaries kind of work?
I think it does. I think at least for the next week, it most certainly will. I mean, how will candidates move forward? We're already seeing this, Justin. How about this? Next Sunday's Democratic debate between Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden will be in an empty hall. Wow. There will be no crowd, and there will now be no spin room and no media room. So, I mean, essentially, if we wanted to, we could do a FaceTime debate between these two because they'll be in the same room, but nobody else will be there other than a moderator and maybe some other people who are working the cameras. So that's going to make for a very interesting event. And, you know, do you want to be the candidate that holds an event where people feel scared? There are two things going on. Number one, you don't want to hold an event where people get sick. Number two, you don't want to hold an event where nobody shows.
Right.
Right? I mean, we're seeing empty halls. We're seeing empty train stations. We're seeing empty hotels. We're seeing empty airports. You don't want to be the person who's trying to get some momentum going and throw to it, you know, throw a rally in an empty gym. I mean, that's just not good visibly. So, you know, they'll probably be throwing a little bit more money at commercials. They'll probably be doing a lot more FaceTime with CNN and MSNBC and Fox News and maybe an occasional town hall here or there. But, you know, the president did not do a rally ahead of this primary. It sounds like he's planning one, but we'll see if he's got one coming up down the pipeline anytime soon.
Yeah. Ryan Burroughs covering the election, the Biden rally that was supposed to be in East Cleveland. He's in the parking lot right outside of there for ABC and also for us here at WGN. Ryan, thanks for joining us tonight.
Yep, you got it. Take care.
Wow. It's going to change the way this election cycle. It's probably a good thing, to be honest. I don't know if our whole democracy is going to fall apart because there's not a political rally. Those have become very politicized to begin with, and obviously that's the whole point of them, to whip people in frenzy. But I just fear for some of the cable news networks, where are they going to get cool, you know, Trump clips? Which is usually where they get him from, right? He does a Trump rally in some form, or Biden does a gaffe at a rally. Those are all at rallies. If the rallies go away, what is CNN and Fox and all those cable networks going to do? Actually have to report on the fact? What? A bad idea. 312-981-7200. We're talking elections tonight. Super Tuesday 2 here on 720 WGN and how this affects what's going to happen here in Illinois next week. We got a slew of guests that are lined up. Excited to talk to Marge Helperin coming up right after the break. Get an idea of what she thinks of the early returns. Right now, Joe Biden is being projected, CNN's projecting to win Mississippi, which was really never in play. The southern states with a high population of African-American voters have gone for Joe Biden. It's not a surprise that you saw this last week at Super Tuesday as well, and even South Carolina, which re-energized the Biden campaign. But it'll be interesting to see what happens in Michigan, of course, which right now it's so early. It's very early. I'm 4%, 5% reporting out of Michigan, and Bernie Sanders holds a very slim lead. But what happens there? And I say what happens in the state of Washington. State of Washington will be interesting to watch because that, of course, is the Pacific Northwest, and that is an area that is much more liberal. And to see if that goes for Senator Sanders and see how maybe it goes for Senator Sanders, but see how Senator Biden, and I keep calling Senator Biden, I guess he's now Vice President Biden, does in that state. Even if he doesn't win, does he grab the moderate vote that is in Washington and some of the areas outside of Seattle? 312-981-7200. We'll take your calls as well. Let's talk elections tonight here on 720 WGN. Justin Kaufman here, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Talking elections, Super Tuesday 2 tonight. Talk about the Democratic primary. We got a bunch of people joining us from Chicago to set us up for what we should expect next week as well when we have our election in the state of Illinois. There's obviously some local races as well to pay attention to. But tonight we're talking about the Democratic primaries that are happening in Idaho, Michigan, Missouri, and also North Dakota's got a caucus. Washington, among other places. I think I missed one there. I might be, we'll figure it out which one I'm missing. Mississippi, I think is what I said. Mississippi has actually been called, projected to be called by CNN for Joe Biden. Marge Helperin, you can catch her on WGN-TV. She's a Democratic analyst, and she's you know her well, and she's on the line with me now. Marge, thanks for joining us tonight.
Hi, happy to be here.
Okay, so let's get right into it. What are you expecting tonight? What, as someone from your perch, a consultant and an analyst who you know the drill, what do you think is going to happen tonight in this country?
Well, it's possible some pundits will be proven wrong, myself included. So I'll put a disclaimer right up front. But I don't expect Michigan to be as good to Bernie Sanders this year as it was in 2016. Mm-hmm. He's banking on winning and having a big upset, but I'm seeing the tide continue to roll for Biden today.
Marge, the last week, Super Tuesday, we saw the exit of Mike Bloomberg. We saw the exit of Senator Elizabeth Warren, and we're down to a moderate who, you know, in Joe Biden and progressive in Bernie Sanders. How do you see this election so far? I mean, the idea that Elizabeth Warren is out and Democrats didn't get a chance after all of this posturing leading up to their primaries, didn't even get a chance to vote for the candidate that they chose. They're down to two that perhaps they didn't want. How do you see this, and how are you as a Democrat viewing what has happened in the last couple of weeks?
Well, if you keep mentioning and repeating that Warren dropped out, I'm just going to cry again. But other than that, how do I see this? Well, I don't think this, you know, it looked through the first half of this process like this was a fight for the soul of our party, right? Is the center wing going to win or the progressive wing? And there were various representatives of each wing. But I don't think that's what happened Super Tuesday. I think what happened on Super Tuesday is voters said the stress of figuring out who can beat Trump is too much. Let's just end this, go with the one we think is the safest candidate, and we'll fight for the soul of the party later. Right. And that's what I think happened. I think that's how we got to double down on Biden. And, you know, that's consistent with anyone that you talk to who's trying to decide who to vote. Now, Bernie looks electable. Now Joe looks electable. Whoops, we better take another look at Elizabeth. Too late. Now she's gone. Like, we missed our chance. You know, all of that agony is so stressful. And I think people thought, let's just pick Biden now, and get on with it, because it's really a Trump election, not a soul of the party election.
Do you think that the former vice president is the right candidate to lead the moderate wing of the Democratic Party in that attempt to unseat Trump?
Well, I can unpack that in a few ways. I did not think we needed to go with the most moderate in order to beat Trump. So I don't think that was the stipulation that I was working from. I said already I was a Warren supporter, and I believe that she could have better carved out her lane between the middle and the left, and that would have been a strong way to go. I wanted to see a woman take down Trump the way she took down Bloomberg, but that is not what's happening. Do I think Biden can beat Trump? Absolutely. I think it's time, it will be a time for the party to unify. Let's play it out. If Bernie does well today in Michigan, then we'll continue the conversation. But when a definitive voter response says Biden is the choice, then I hope, if it happens that way, and I think it will, I hope Sanders will be graceful about it and let the voters have what they want, which is a candidate they can move forward with.
We're talking with Marge Halperin, who's also, among other things, a Democratic analyst for WGN TV. Marge, do you think it's you would talk about Elizabeth Warren, if she decides to put her weight behind Bernie Sanders instead of Joe Biden, is that something that you think that could change the way that the course of this election, or is it too late at this point that it seems like Biden is a runaway choice?
I think if that was her intent, she would have done it already. I'm not going to profess to have any more than a observer's view here, but it seems to me that she is waiting for the voters to express a choice and then support the choice the voters go out with, because she told the voters who she thought they should choose, her.
Right. For you, as we get closer to, a week from now, the state of Illinois, are you excited as someone who plays, that loves politics and works in politics in the state of Illinois, that it will be somewhat relevant and could be one of the states on next Tuesday that actually ends the Democratic primary delegate race?
Yeah, good point, because we're almost never relevant, right?
Right.
By this time in the process, so it's different for us. But we're relevant in a lot of ways. You know, we have a lot of congressional races that are important here in the state that are either contested on the Republican side or the Democratic side that will tee up some very important votes for the fall. I think there's a lot of exciting races here. My choice is simpler, that's for sure. After today, I'll know for sure where I'm going to go with my vote. But I think I'm as vote weary as anybody right now. Let's move.
Marge,
let's go after Trump.
Well, I read an article today about the sort of campaign strategy for the president in re-election if Joe Biden is going to be his challenger. And it really was going to go after the mental faculty part. There was the cut up video about the gaffes and essentially paint Joe Biden as out of touch or not mentally fit for office. Just looking as an analyst, as a consultant, as someone who's worked on several campaigns, what do you think of that strategy?
I think it's pretty dangerous for the pot to call the kettle black. I just don't think that Trump has the what's the diplomatic way to say this? I don't think Trump is exactly gaffe-free, and despite his insistence at being a stable genius, big brain, expert in the medical field, there are all these claims, he's not showing himself to be the strongest, most coherent speaker. So if you want a battle of the gaffe videos, okay. But that's just what we're all so tired of.
Right.
Let's talk about how to, save the country from this virus and economic potential economic collapse and move forward. That's what people want to talk about.
There are a lot of changes to next week's election already. Senior centers that used to be polling places in the state of Illinois are no longer going to be that. People are going to be scurrying to find where they're supposed to vote. Are you concerned that the coronavirus and the impact of the disruption will do just that, disrupt the Illinois primary.
I am concerned. You know, it's a double thing because under another circumstance, you might really push early voting and say, you know, don't wait for the long lines, don't wait for the crowds, go to early voting where it tends to be a quicker process. However, people are waiting to find out what's happening every week in the other, you know, Super Tuesday, Big Tuesday, you know, medium-sized Tuesday. Is that what we are next week, medium-sized
right.
Tuesday?
Yeah, right.
You know, so no one wanted to vote early. I've been doing a lot of canvassing for Marie Newman in the 3rd District against Lipinski, and, you know, people are pretty sure what they want, and then you ask, are you going to vote early? And they're like, not this time. So it's going to lead to a backup on Election Day, and depending on how the story about the coronavirus progresses in the next week, you know, it's something to watch. It's a
well,
concern.
It has to hurt down ballot, because if they go into Illinois, where Joe Biden has a sizable lead, CNN's projecting that he won Missouri tonight and Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
But if he goes in where it really doesn't necessarily, not to say that we don't matter, but there's this coronavirus disruption and there's also this long lines and the fact that, you know, Joe Biden's going to win the nomination, that's got to hurt down ballot races that are more important to the state of Illinois.
I would think so. I think that's a concern for sure. We have a lot of judges on the ballot. If you think courts don't matter, you're not paying attention, you know. And so we, and these congressional races where we have some hefty primaries going on, the Republicans in the 14th and Democrats in the 3rd, 7th, 1st, you know, some really interesting contests on the congressional races. So, and, you know, down the ballot. So, yeah, hotly contested state rep and Senate races, too. So that would be a shame. There are a lot of big decisions. And if we've learned one thing, and of course we've learned a lot from 2016, but when you see the payoff from the Tea Party days of building strength at the state level and in the courts, we've learned that the Democrats are far behind, and it's time to really solidify the state races and the courts to prepare for a Supreme Court that isn't going to be very friendly to progressive issues.
Marge Halperin is a Democratic analyst over at WGN-TV and a strategist and consultant. Marge, thanks for joining us tonight. I appreciate it.
Sure. Good conversation.
Good
we'll
stuff.
See what happens.
We'll talk soon. All right. Marge Halperin. Coming up, Alderman Carlos Ramirez Rosa is going to join us. He was a delegate for Bernie Sanders last time around. He still is supporting Senator Sanders. So we'll talk about the fact that so far, it looks like tonight's going to be a Biden night. Two projected victories. CNN is projecting that Biden will win Missouri and he will win Mississippi. Again, Biden has done really, really well in the southern states. And I'm not saying that Missouri might be more of the mid-southern states, but that was projected to go to Biden. The ones to watch, and we're going to be watching all night, are our neighbor, Michigan, which last time around, Hillary Clinton had a huge exit poll, said she was going to win by double. And when it was over, and if you really remember that, that was when everyone went, whoa, what's happening here? Is the DNC, are they rigging this for Hillary Clinton? Because there are a lot of upset victories for the upstart Senator Sanders. But we'll see. Tonight, the same thing. They said Biden, the exit polls showed Biden was going to pull away. And as we heard from Ryan, this time around, they share that working class white vote, Joe Biden and Senator Sanders, which wasn't necessarily shared last time with Hillary Clinton, Senator Clinton, and Senator Sanders. Or I guess you'd say Secretary Clinton. I always forget that's the highest level title. She was Secretary of State. Okay, so we'll take a break here, and Carlos Ramirez Rosa is going to join us to talk about what this means, if Bernie Sanders, if it keeps going the way that Biden is going to win Super Tuesday 2, what does it mean for the Sanders campaign in Illinois as they get ready for next week? And we'll also talk about the coronavirus fears and all that with Alderman Ramirez Rosa coming up next here on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is a phone number. Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock tonight. We're talking about the coronavirus tonight, but we're also talking about Super Tuesday 2 or Big Tuesday, as some are mentioning. Right now, Joe Biden, the former vice president, has been projected to win the state of Missouri tonight, as well as the state of Mississippi. But all eyes really on the state of Michigan, our neighbors. We share a lake, and we will find out what happens there. That's really the spot that people pay attention to when it comes to Senator Sanders. Bernie Sanders did well in Michigan last time around, and it is very important for the senator to do well in Michigan this time around. That will be the concern, and we will see what happens as this night unfolds. There's also some states out west. North Dakota is a caucus, Idaho, and the state of Washington as well. So those states up for grabs tonight. So we thought we'd take the temperature, talk to some analysts and some people who are supporting both candidates, and talk to Republicans as well about what they think about how the Democratic primary is shaking up and shaking out here tonight. Because next week is a big week for the state of Illinois. Our election, primary election, comes up March 17th. And there's a question with the fear of coronavirus. And we saw this today, that the state of Illinois is going to suspend or remove or relocate polling places in senior centers because of the fear of coronavirus, which is a bummer for me. That's where I vote. I vote in a senior center, which is such a bummer because, as I've talked about on this program, I'm a huge fan of my senior center. I go in there. I have a good time doing bits, jokes. They're getting to know the people who are working and volunteering down in the rec center, the senior center that I vote at. But that will not happen this next Tuesday. I will be shepherded into, sheep will be put into some other school or municipal building for long line voting. That's a bummer. But I understand it, and there will be some changes to the way that our polling places are operated. And that'll be a big question of whether or not that will have an impact on voter turnout. That's something we haven't seen yet when we're talking about some of the primaries that are in play tonight around the country. Has voter turnout for Democrats been lower? Obviously, Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders were going to do rallies in Ohio to get ahead because Ohio is next week. And neither of them did the rally. They were canceled amid fears of coronavirus. So we'll see what happens. Biden is going to go to Philadelphia tonight. I think he's going to make some speech in Philadelphia. I believe that Ryan said that Senator Sanders is going back to Vermont. Not sure if he's going to have any public speech. Biden has already canceled other rallies that were scheduled, I think Ryan said, for Tampa, Florida. And this time around, we haven't seen a rally from the president, although there have been, and Ryan said, plans for a rally coming up here in the next week. And we'll see if that actually comes to fruition because the president, of course, is dealing with the coronavirus pandemic here in this country. And I'm not sure how much he's going to be on the campaign trail, and especially in closed space, doing big rallies when his government and the CDC and everyone in between is saying, don't do that. We'll find out. 312-981-7200. 773 says, you're going to hate this, but I don't know why the Democrats are wasting their time or money. Trump is going to win in November. I don't necessarily disagree. I've heard a lot of Democrats say that as well, that they don't feel like the Democrats have mobilized in the right way. But there's a long time till then, and I don't have a dog in this race. So 312-981-7200, we'll let that be the premise. Do you agree with 773? Do you think that it doesn't matter if Joe Biden sweeps and everybody gets behind him, or if Bernie Sanders comes up and upsets the former vice president, that it really doesn't matter because Trump's going to win in November? 312-981-7200. Let's find out. Let's see what we think. Right away, you get a lot of texts saying yes or no, but I'd love to get a little bit more information from you tonight. Next week, first time, I think when we first started this, there was some concern that Illinois would not be relevant when it came to political primaries. Especially this year, the thought was that the Democratic primary would be decided by Super Tuesday or by tonight, and there would be a delegate count that would push somebody to the nomination, and that Illinois would be inconsequential. Well, it looks to be that next week you're going to have the state of Ohio, the state of Florida, the state of Illinois, among others, that will be big players in deciding who's going to be the nominee for the Democratic Party. Of course, there are a couple of Republican primaries tonight. Most of them have been suspended, meaning they didn't even hold a primary because they knew that the incumbent Donald Trump would be the nominee. But some continue to do it because of state charter or otherwise. But Donald Trump, the president, the incumbent, of course, is unopposed in his primary, and he waits for the winner, which would rather be, I'm not sure who he'd rather have, but Vice President Biden or Senator Sanders. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Christine says, moderate Republican women, suburban women, they're done. They're not voting for the current occupant, and that will be a deciding factor. That's an interesting take, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later, too, because you wonder if some of the voting blocks that went for Trump in 2016 are with him in 2020. It's interesting, just in Michigan, and I think this is why politics can be really surprising, because it was in Michigan that Bernie Sanders got all those votes to beat Hillary Clinton and stun the Democrat, the moderate Democrat part of the DNCC, the whole bit, right? That was last time around, 2016. And you would think, okay, well, and we heard so much about Ohio and so much about Wisconsin when it came to the general election. But to assume that what's going to happen in 2016 is going to happen in 2020 is actually playing out in Michigan right now. With 33% of the vote in the Michigan primary, Joe Biden is a commanding 10% lead, 52 to 42%. That, if you were going off of what happened in 2016, you would think that Bernie Sanders had an organization, could mobilize, and you would have a similar outcome. But that's not the case, as moderates are falling in line behind the former vice president. So that may change the way that Wisconsin voters vote. It may change the way that Michigan voters work in the primary, or I'm sorry, in the general election. So all bets off to what happened in 2016 and who voted for who back then and how they're going to vote in 2020. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. We got a full hour. We'll have Alderman Ramirez Rosa at some point. We'll also talk to some more pundits and experts about what's happening around the country tonight. It's election night, and it's 720 WGN. Talking elections tonight here. 312-981-7200, the phone number. Get some texts in. Let's talk and also call in if you want. We'll talk about the election, what you think about the choices on the Democratic side, how the election's shaken out tonight, and what you think about the general election when it comes down to the incumbent president, Trump, versus one of the two or three Democratic primary contestants. Talk about that. Coming up, we'll have some guests as well to continue with the polls and the actual results coming out of tonight's Big Tuesday results. Vic Vaughn will have some of that information as well coming up here right now in the news on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. I'm Justin Kaufman here on 720 WGN, and we are giving you the results of election night. We're calling this one Super Tuesday 2, or are we calling it Big Tuesday? Many primaries tonight on the Democratic side, and the projection right now from CNN and NBC is that the former Vice President Joe Biden has won Michigan, the state of Michigan, and this was a state that was very important for Senator Bernie Sanders, but right now the projection is that the former Vice President has won the state of Michigan, a state that Senator Sanders upset Secretary Clinton in the 2016 primary. This is a big blow to the Sanders campaign just for the fact that they needed to win Michigan and maybe state of Washington or Idaho tonight, but it's not going to be Michigan. Joe Biden right now has not only Michigan, but Mississippi and Missouri from tonight's haul. There are still a couple of states out, and we'll get you to that as well. Alderman Carlos Ramirez Rosa has been a Bernie Sanders supporter here in the state of Illinois. He's the alderman in the 35th Ward. He joins us now. Alderman, thanks for taking some time out. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So what does this mean? I mean, hear the news that they're projecting Michigan for the former vice president. What does this mean for the Sanders campaign in Illinois? And first of all, what's your reaction to that?
Well, we also know that there were a lot of new voters that have mailed in ballots. There were a record number of new registrations. So my understanding is that folks are still waiting to hear more results as they trickle in throughout the night. Mm-hmm. And then we also have to hear from, our western states, Washington and Idaho. But we know that Joe Biden got a major bump after Super Tuesday. We know that, you know, he's gotten a lot of good coverage in the corporate media. However, at the same time, we know that Joe Biden is not the nominee to take on and defeat Donald Trump. He's been turning down press interviews. Today, he threatened a worker who dared to ask him a question while he was on the stump. He said, hey, dude, you want to take it outside? So, you know, I think that we're now looking to the debate that's going to happen this upcoming Sunday, where Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders are going to be one-on-one. And I think that's when voters are really going to wake up and realize we will lose to Donald Trump if Joe Biden is our nominee.
Alderman, for you, I mean, obviously the state of Illinois is going to play a big role, because you could see here and in Ohio and maybe Florida that the vice president could clinch a nomination in these states. So does it become more urgent for you and for the Bernie Sanders campaign in the state of Illinois? You got to ratchet it up in the next week?
Absolutely. I mean, the Bernie Sanders campaign has been ratcheting it up since day one. More volunteers than any other campaign, more grassroots donations than any other campaign, more contributions from voters in Obama to Trump swing districts. So those are the critical congressional districts that went for Obama in 2012 but went for Trump in 2016. Bernie Sanders dominates in terms of contributions in those very critical swing districts. Unfortunately, the entire establishment has been lining up against Bernie Sanders, and it's no surprise why. Corporate America and Wall Street wants to keep its fangs in the Democratic Party, and they will stop at nothing to stop Bernie Sanders from being our nominee. Yet Bernie Sanders' grassroots campaign has accomplished so many things that we should be so extremely proud of. I really think that voters need to tune into this debate. Joe Biden does not even want to stand up at this debate. Bernie Sanders is saying, let's do this a traditional way. Let's have two podiums. Let's have both of us standing up there. Joe Biden's campaign is saying, no, we want to be able to sit down. If Joe Biden doesn't even have the stamina to stand up and debate Bernie Sanders, how do we expect him to take on Donald Trump? So I really think this is do or die, not just for the Bernie Sanders campaign, but for the entire Democratic Party, because the polling shows and history shows that if we put forward a moderate establishment candidate, we will lose. A moderate establishment candidate outside of incumbents has not won the presidency as a Democratic nominee in 60 years. The last establishment Democrat to win the presidency was Jack Kennedy, and Joe Biden is no Jack Kennedy.
Okay, so Hillary. Let me ask you this, because this is, we heard this in the first hour of the program, this idea that some of the pundits are saying that Democrats are putting a pause on a revolution and really want to just put one candidate forward, a centrist that can beat Trump. It has all to do with beating this president, not necessarily some of the things that have been campaigned for to change the way that this country operates. If the results are the same, meaning that you see the vice president win out and gets the nominee, you and others who supported the senator from Vermont, do you get behind Joe Biden, or is this, are you telling me right now that no, we're not going to vote for Joe Biden?
Oh, I'm absolutely 150% on board to defeat Donald Trump. That is why I'm supporting Bernie Sanders in the Democratic primary contest. I'm going to support Joe Biden if he is in fact the nominee, but I'm also a student of history, and history very clearly says that a centrist pillar of the Democratic establishment has not won the presidency in 60 years. Outside of incumbents, if you look at the Democrats that have won, Bill Clinton, he was a young, enthusiastic change candidate. He had the youth support. Barack Obama, he was an enthusiastic change candidate who had the youth support. Who is the change candidate that has the youth support? It's Bernie Sanders. Who is the establishment candidate? Who's Hillary 2.0? Who's John Kerry 3.0? It's Joe Biden. So if Democrats want to go down the same tired path that has lost them the presidency time and time again, Joe Biden is the guy to do it with. Because history clearly says that when you nominate a pillar of the Democratic establishment, they lose. Yeah. So unfortunately, there's a lot of people in the corporate media, there's a lot of Democratic consultants that aren't speaking that truth to the Democratic electorate. And we're seeing that play out. Younger people who get their news off of social media, who talk to one another, who send each other gifts, who talk to each other via memes, right, they're overwhelmingly with Bernie Sanders. The older voters that have been captured in by Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, they got a lot of nut jobs on there telling them a lot of wrong, bad things. We're going to lose if Joe Biden is our nominee. I have no doubt. I'm going to fight my hardest because we got to defeat Donald Trump. But you can't ignore history. And the empirical evidence very clearly says Biden is a loser.
35th Ward Alderman Carlos Ramirez Rosa, who represents parts of the northwest side in the city of Chicago. Alderman, thanks so much for joining us tonight. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a great night.
Oh, he's also a supporter of Bernie Sanders, of course, if you didn't hear that. But he makes some good points. Even got a no Jack Kennedy in there. I wanted to stop the interview right at the end and say, sir, you're talking to a corporate media. You seem to go after that one. All right, 312-981-7200. Coming up, Kitty Kirth joins us, a great political consultant and analyst here in town who has a long history of being a moderate, who's worked with the Vice President, Joe Biden. So we'll talk about the support for Joe Biden after he has been projected to win in Michigan tonight. The alderman said, though, there are a lot of votes out. Ryan Burrow said that at the beginning of the program, too. A lot of absentee ballots that are out that need still to be counted. But right now, CNN, NBC, and the other networks are projecting Joe Biden to win the state of Michigan. We'll take a break. Come back. Stay with us. Justin Kaufman here, 720 WGN. It is Big Tuesday, or what we're calling Super Tuesday 2, Electric Boogaloo, whatever it might be. The parts of the country are voting in their primaries, mostly Democrat primaries. There's some Republican primaries as well, with, of course, the incumbent President Trump being unopposed. So tonight, Idaho, the state of Washington, Michigan, of course, Missouri, Mississippi, and North Dakota, which is doing a caucus. But as we speak, the three projected states that both CNN and other networks have called for, Biden for Mississippi, Missouri, and the state of Michigan, which was the prize that the campaign for Senator Bernie Sanders really wanted. They got it in 2016. They didn't get it tonight, although, as you heard from Alderman Rosa, perhaps there's still absentee ballots out, but right now the network's projecting Michigan for Joe Biden. Someone who's worked with Joe Biden and supporting Joe Biden and is a political consultant, strategist, and analyst here in Chicago for a long time, Kitty Kirth, joins us on the line. Kitty, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Justin, how are you?
Good. So does this surprise you that Vice President Biden has done so well in these three states? I mean, obviously Mississippi, Missouri, but Michigan?
It does. Honestly, you know, all political conventional wisdom that I've learned in the last 35 years has gone completely out the window in the last 10 days.
Wow. Why is that? What is it? Just comeback story?
Yeah, and it's honestly more than that. It's voters really have just taken things into their own hands. They don't need television ads to tell them what to do. They don't need, staff to tell them what to do, evidently. They've just decided what they're going to do. Hmm. In Massachusetts, I still can't get over, you know, generally in politics, the conventional wisdom is the person who spends the most money on voter contact wins. In Massachusetts, Joe Biden didn't have any staff, he didn't have an office, and he didn't spend any money on TV. And he beat not only the incumbent senator, but the next door senator.
Hmm.
It's unbelievable.
You could, at the beginning of this campaign, you could say that the former vice president would do well in the South. You know, he has a strength with African American voters, but he also has just done well in those states in the past. Is it surprising to you when you mentioned Massachusetts and Michigan and Minnesota? Go ahead.
Wait. He did well in those states as vice president. Remember, as the Bernie Sanders supporters were quick to point out, this is actually the first time he got past Iowa running as a presidential candidate himself. So this was his first real test on the ballot by himself without Barack Obama next to him.
He's obviously so far had a pretty good night. There's still a couple states that are out, and people pay attention to what happens in the state of Washington. But right now, as you look ahead to next week, the state of Illinois, which many thought would be irrelevant when it came to the Democratic primary, could be a state that is actually clinches it for the front runner, in this case, Joe Biden.
Well, in three weeks ago, I thought Illinois was finally going to be relevant, and there was going to be a really good race. And there was going to be like five people in it, and Illinois was really going to matter for a change. Then Super Tuesday happened. Now I think Illinois is going to matter, but for a whole set of different reasons than I thought 3 weeks ago.
As a political, as someone who's run campaigns, and you've run a ton of them, Kitty, the the coronavirus. This is something that's brand new, and the idea that it's obviously getting people spooked about going into large groups of people or possibly going outside in certain points. Do you think this is going to have an impact on what voter turnout is like in the state of Illinois next week?
You know, it's interesting. I was talking to people about that tonight. I think in another kind of race it might, but people know who Joe Biden is. People know who Bernie Sanders is. I don't think one more rally for either of them is going to really make a difference in people making up their minds. I just hope it doesn't keep people from the polls. I don't care who anybody votes for. I just think it's really, really critical to our democracy that people go out and vote and choose and make that decision. So many people have died for the right to vote. I don't want anybody to get sick for the right to vote, but I want people to go out and exercise their vote.
Long time.
Go early in the morning when nobody's there.
There you go. Longtime political strategist, consultant, analyst Kitty Kurth is on the line with me. You've worked with the vice president. You worked on his staff. You know him. What kind of candidate will he be for president of the United States?
Justin, I'm going to be completely frank with you because I know you won't tell anybody, and I know, you know, thousands of people aren't actually listening tonight, or tens of thousands. Earlier in the campaign, I was really concerned. I have known Joe Biden for a long time, and I was worried that the Joe Biden I knew wasn't showing up. He wasn't the guy at the debates that I knew and had worked with, but after South Carolina, well, right before South Carolina, and since Super Tuesday, the Joe Biden I know is back and going to be a great president.
Are you concerned the splits are still not great for Joe Biden? Meaning that if you look at elderly voters, they're coming out in droves for Biden. But if you look at younger voters, millennials or people who are 18 years old, the numbers are for Sanders. They're not even close.
Justin,
so what do you do in that case? If you're on that staff, what do you do to say, you know what, we need to seriously look to recruit the young voter?
Every young voter, please prove me wrong about the next statement that I am going to make. I feel like a boomer now, but I started out in my 20s trying to get young people to vote. I'm 60 now. I have not had one election where young people really came out in the same numbers that they needed to make a difference and that they needed to make up for the number of older voters that came out. And I would like nothing better than for every young voter in Illinois to come out and prove me wrong.
Right. All right, my last question for you, Kitty. I read a great story today that it looks like the Trump campaign and the RNC and everyone is going to really get on the idea that there are some mental issues with the vice president, that they're going after gaffes. This is going to be the campaign. Maybe it was about something else before, but now they've settled on the idea that they can really point out that he's not mentally fit for the job. What do you say as a Democratic consultant? What do you do for that?
I believe that this is the I'm rubber, you're glue, what bounces off me sticks to you strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, the president is pretty good at giving people nicknames and going after weaknesses.
There is no one that makes more mistakes and tells more lies in a day than President Trump. And the minute he comes after somebody for making mistakes, that's the minute the truth barometers get to come out and just bury him.
Yeah. Kitty Kurth, always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for joining us, a Democratic consultant, strategist, analyst, whatever you want to call her, Kitty Kurth, longtime Chicagoan. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Justin. Have a great night.
You too. As we said, I mean, right now, Joe Biden is projected to be the winner in Michigan, in Mississippi, in Missouri. The polls haven't closed. I don't think they've closed out west yet. That'll be coming up at 9 o'clock central here. Those two states, of course, three states, because I believe North Dakota is a caucus, if I'm not mistaken on that. And then Washington and Idaho would be the other states that are in play. So right now, Biden wins in Mississippi, Missouri, and in the state of Michigan, which is huge because that was a state that the Senator Sanders campaign needed. They didn't get it. And so now the delegate count, the pledged delegate count, goes wide and a huge lead right now for the former Vice President Joe Biden. We'll continue the conversation. Coming up, let's talk. Carol Felsenthal from Chicago Magazine is going to join us. Also, we've got some more Bernie Sanders people who will call in. Also, I want to talk to Republicans as well. Chris Roebling is going to call in a little bit later in the program. We get him on to talk about what he sees from the results, not just from Super Tuesday, but from tonight, and obviously what might happen next week here in the state of Illinois. It's 720 WG, and I'm Justin Kaufman. Stay with us. The number, 312-981-7200. Justin Kaufman here on 720 WGN. We're talking elections tonight on the program as the Big Tuesday, not Super Tuesday, but the Big Tuesday results are coming in. The projected winners of the states of Mississippi, Missouri, and Michigan, former Vice President Joe Biden. Biden actually widens his lead of pledged delegate counts. And all eyes now shift to the West as some of the polls will be closing soon in Washington, in Idaho, and caucuses in North Dakota. We continue our parade of guests to talk about the what we see tonight, but also looking forward to what we can expect next week. Carol Felsenthal is an author. She's also a political columnist for Chicago Magazine and for Politico Magazine. She joins us now. Hi, Carol. Here we go. Hi, Carol. Sorry about that. Are we there? Do we have her?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good to talk to you. Okay.
Okay.
Carol, what do you think of the results tonight, especially the idea that Joe Biden wins Michigan?
Well, Bernie did quite a bit worse than he did against Hillary. I think that there's going to be a lot of pressure on Bernie to drop out. I think there's going to be pressure on Elizabeth Warren to endorse Bernie, but why would she? Because all these other people who spoke so ill of Biden before, Klobuchar, Beto O'Rourke, Kamala Harris, they're all hoping either for cabinet positions or to become VP. I think Bernie is finished, and I think Biden is a disaster. The man is senile, and he shows it every day, and one of the worst examples happened today when he swore at a man, put his finger in his face, challenged him to go outside to fight, called AR-15s, AR-14s. I don't know what the Democrats are thinking, but as a Democrat myself, I think it's a terrible mistake. 6 months from today or 2 months from today, Biden's going to be in worse shape than he is today. And you can say all you want to about Trump. The man is a disaster, but he's got a lot more energy. And I think he's going to take Joe Biden down in debates.
Carol, we were talking earlier just about the idea that Illinois is now relevant, and we may be in a position next week where Illinois votes to one of these candidates into getting the delegate count to become the nominee. Does Illinois go for Biden? Is Illinois a Biden state?
Oh, definitely. And Illinois will go for Biden. Florida will go big time for Biden because Bernie said such incredibly stupid things in Florida, including about Fidel Castro and his literacy program, support for the Palestinians. Now, whatever you think of Bernie's politics, but why he said that when he said that, I think Florida is going to be a blowout for Biden. I think Ohio probably goes to Biden, and I think Arizona has a older population or significant older population. One of the things you've seen for Biden tonight that he is just walking away with older voters. Bernie is doing well with younger voters, but younger voters can't be relied on to vote.
Carol, the interesting thing, too, we talked about does the left, the hard left, the people who are supporting Bernie Sanders, do they fall in line like some of these other candidates have? Do you see the voters for Bernie Sanders or even Elizabeth Warren getting behind Joe Biden for the to unite the Democratic Party?
Well, I think there's two groups of Bernie voters. I think the Bernie bros, as they're called, they're just angry, and I can't see them flocking. I mean, most of them will vote for Biden, but a good number won't, and that could hurt him if it's a tight race for Trump. Right now, it looks like Trump is being doomed by the coronavirus and the economy, but we'll see. Are they going to vote for Trump? I don't think so, but there's going to be lagging enthusiasm, an enthusiasm gap, and in a close election, when it's not the popular vote, but the electoral college that counts, there could be a real problem for Biden. I think the Bernie people thought they were denied the nomination in 2016, and the same is happening now, and it certainly must make them angry that there was such a quick turnaround for Biden when his campaigning has been very weak, and he didn't campaign in some of the states that he won on Super Tuesday, had no money, had no people there. So I think there's going to be a lot of anger that's going to have to be soothed.
Carol Felsenthal is a longtime political columnist here in town, Chicago Magazine, Politico Magazine as well. We're talking about the election results. Christine texted in saying, but, you know, Biden will surround himself with all the same people who were with Clinton and Obama, all of the DNC, the moderates, that a lot of people that know how to run campaigns and have done it before. Does it help Biden that he is surrounded by all of past winners who will line up and support this candidate?
Well, I think that Biden could be a figurehead one-term president. And there are many people who I talk to who think that that's what the country needs now, a calming down. Biden will put on a nice suit and fix his hair and go out there and shake hands, but he's not going to be the real president. So it makes the vice president, because I really do, I would bet a lot that Biden, if he wins, he's not going to be able to run again in 4 years. So whether it's Amy Klobuchar, who would be a spectacularly effective president, or Kamala Harris, or Stacey Abrams, it's almost at the point now where Biden definitely has to pick a woman. There's no way in the world that it's Pete Buttigieg or Worshad Beto O'Rourke. It's got to be a woman, and I think that it has to be a woman of color. Mm-hmm. So, in fact, interestingly, I've seen Lori Lightfoot in the mix as Biden's VP. It hasn't carried very far, but the editorial page editor for the Washington Post, Fred Hyatt, suggested that Lori could be a possible candidate for that job.
How great, how amazing would that be for a political story? Illinois is next. We're up next. Are you worried, Carol, from your experience, or are you worried about coronavirus and what effect that has on people coming out to vote?
Very early on, before it really hit the U.S., said that I can see there being no political conventions this summer. I'm not a scientist. In fact, I was never very good at science. But I just think this is a disaster for many reasons. Look at both Biden and Bernie canceled their rallies for tonight. That's a good thing for Bernie, but too bad for Biden. And Trump already, he has another rally scheduled. And when you look at, if you watch Trump's rallies, and I watch them because I find them fascinating, they're hot, they're sweated, they're sweaty, there are thousands of people packed into a room. You know, I before the New Yorker put on its cover, I said to my husband that Trump is going to distribute MAGA masks, and that everybody at his rallies was wearing those red hats and white red letter MAGA masks, because those rallies are really important to Trump. And I'll tell you one reason why they're super important, and that's because supposedly about 25%, somewhere in that territory, of the people who attend those Trump rallies are Democrats. And the Trump has a very smart guy, Brad, I think it's Pascale, if I'm pronouncing it right, who does his social media and his data work, and they're getting all those texts, and I think that's going to make a difference too. So if Trump is socially pressured to give up the rallies, that'll be a problem for him. But the thing about Trump is he doesn't give in to social pressure. He doesn't care. He's just kind of a maniac.
Carol Felsenthal, my guest here, as you see the results trending towards Biden, really, I mean, obviously the Western states like Idaho and Washington have not come up yet. But when you see the results tonight and you look forward and you have already said you see Biden winning next week, I mean, what do we expect? I mean, are we going to be in a spot where the Trump campaign today, there was a great article today just about how they're going to go after the mental faculties and whether or not Biden is mentally fit. Is that story right tomorrow? Do we see the Trump campaign continue to hammer that home? Is that an effective strategy for them?
Oh, totally. The Trump campaign, Fox News, Breitbart, they have the material to do it. He gives them fresh material every day he's out. Now, the latest thing is there is going to be a really super interesting debate this weekend. I thought it was Saturday night, but I heard it was Sunday night. But it will be, it's not going to be Tulsi Gabbard, who we forget is still in the race but is going nowhere. It'll be Sanders against Biden. And Sanders is sharp, you know, and he's got his talking points down. The trouble for Joe Biden is he can't remember his talking points. So I think that debate will be fascinating. But when you look ahead, Bernie didn't do as well as I thought he would do in California. That was a weak fit. He won, but not by enough. And there's one state where I can kind of see Bernie having a comeback that's a big state, and that's Wisconsin. But beyond that, I think that, we're talking about this contested convention that people like me love to think about, but I think that Biden is going to go into the convention with a majority of delegates, and I think that's why Elizabeth Warren dropped out, because she's really smart, and she understood that this is what was coming, and she was hoping that there wouldn't be a majority and that she could be a compromise candidate, but that's not going to happen. Yeah.
Carol Felsenthal, longtime political columnist, Chicago Magazine, Politico, and other places, author as well. Carol, thanks for joining us tonight.
Sure, anytime.
Yeah. All right, there we go. A little echo on that phone, but I thought I did a good job riding the pot there, Pete. 312-981-7200. Very interesting points that she brought up. One, she was not falling in line with the fact that, like we heard from Kitty a little bit earlier, that Biden is going to turn it around. And she also mentioned that she thinks that the political conventions this summer are going to be canceled. Didn't think about that at all. That's not that far off. Talking about July and August. If coronavirus is still in a position where it lingers into the summer, a political convention is the same idea as the Houseware show or South by Southwest. It's 7 days, 5 days, whatever it is. I think it's a week of people in very close quarters in hotels and in other places it's the same thing. So this is an interesting thought. I didn't think about that. It could change, the coronavirus could definitely change the way this political campaign in 2020 will operate. More to come tonight here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. We're talking about Big Tuesday tonight and some of the election results. As we have mentioned, Mississippi, Missouri, and Michigan projected to go to the former Vice President Joe Biden. And we have yet to have results in from the polls in Washington, Idaho, and North Dakota, but those will be coming up within the next hour. It's Justin Kaufman at 720 WGN. Stay with us. 312-981-7200. Justin Kaufman here, 720 WGN. We are covering the election tonight. Big Tuesday, Super Tuesday 2, if you will. We're talking about states that have already been projected winners for the former Vice President Joe Biden. That would be Mississippi, Missouri, and the state of Michigan, which was a big state for the Sanders campaign. But tonight, projection from CNN and NBC and other networks saying that Michigan is going to Joe Biden. There's still the state of Washington, the state of Idaho, and the state of North Dakota, which is a caucus, which will be coming up. I would say that the polls close sometime in the next half hour? I'm not sure exactly. I would assume it's
No, North Dakota closed at 7.
Oh, it did. So we don't know. We don't have an idea because it's a caucus.
Right. Still too close, too, as well.
They're just y'all yelling at each other in a big room. That's right. North Dakota, Idaho, and Washington still in play. But as we talked, the big story tonight, the state of Michigan, a state that in 2016 was really the shining moment for the Bernie Sanders campaign as he upset then-Secretary Hillary Clinton in the race for the White House in 2016. But tonight doesn't have as much luck as Joe Biden takes cake. All right, Laureen Targos is going to join us. She's the chief steward and vice president for the AFGE Local 704. AFGE is the American Federation of Government Employees. She is a supporter of Senator Sanders. She joins us now. Ms. Targos, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Justin.
So let's get right into it. Are you disappointed with the results that are coming out of Michigan tonight?
Well, I'm disappointed that the networks have called the race already when we see online that there are still hundreds of students in line at universities across Michigan and where they've been waiting in lines more than 3 hours long. I think there really needs to be a serious discussion about voter suppression of youth vote.
That's an issue that was brought up earlier in the show, just the idea that absentee ballots as well. Is that something that you can count on, though, that if they're calling projections and the vote total is pretty wide, is that something that the Sanders campaign can count on?
I'm not an election expert, but if this has been a pattern, you know, we saw this all across the states that were voting on Super Tuesday. There were long lines in places where Latino voters were, where Arab American voters were, where student voters were. And so, you know, historically, students, I remember as a college student myself, because students move and change addresses more often, that already naturally suppresses the student vote. Right. And so to add on the long lines, it's just it's really hurtful to see a Democratic Party that calls on young people to vote and then puts obstacles in their place when, you know, theoretically they might not prefer the candidate that young people
Laureen,
are voting for.
I'm having some problem with your phone. I'm gonna just put you on hold real quick and maybe Pete can take a look, maybe call back or get a better connection. Laureen Targos is the chief steward and VP for the AFGE Local 704. The AFGE is the American Federation of Government Employees. They represent the EPA and other places as well. We want to get her back on to talk about the Biden campaign because she, of course, is not unlike Alderman Carlos Ramirez Rosa earlier, are in support of Bernie Sanders in the state of Illinois and have really been a part of the grassroots movement here in the state of Illinois to back the senator from Vermont to become the nominee for the Democratic Party. But right now, it's a bummer because for them, there seemed to be a real need to win the state of Michigan. And for them, they did not tonight. The projections are to the Vice President Joe Biden. There are some concerns that absentee ballots have not been counted and that people are still waiting in long lines, especially the youth vote. But we're not sure exactly how that plays out right now. Vice President Biden with a commanding and projected lead. It's hundreds of thousands of votes. So let's go back to Laureen Targos and see if we got her. Laureen, you there?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, great. So let's get right back into the conversation. The idea that what happened in Michigan tonight, we don't know what's going to happen on the West Coast with Washington or Idaho. How does it change your approach to trying to get Bernie Sanders to win in the state of Illinois?
Well, this hasn't changed anything for us on the ground. We know, our union, AFGE Local 704, representing EPA scientists, engineers, and attorneys and staff, know that for the future interests of our members and our families, that the Bernie Sanders policy platform is best for our members and our interests as environmentalists. And so we will continue to speak with our members and our communities about the need to nominate Bernie Sanders and hopefully go forward to the convention.
Next week could be a big one for your candidate and the fact that you have Florida, you have Ohio, and you have the state of Illinois, the state of Arizona as well. It could be that the delegate count pushes over the top when it comes for Vice President Joe Biden. That's got to be sour for you as someone who supports Senator Sanders. Does it make you try a little bit harder this week to try and get voters to see and vote for Senator Sanders?
I mean, what Senator Sanders is doing is incredible. He's doing something that no American candidate for the presidential office has ever been able to successfully do, which is to run a viable campaign for the presidency without any funding from billionaires and special interests. And that's why his supporters feel so passionately that we do have to do this type of grassroots work. We can't have a candidate as president who's really fighting for the working class unless they go there only with the money of the working class. And so, you know, we're going to see what happens. You know, this has never been done before. So we really need to appreciate that, you know, this is the first struggle. And, you know, as we know how history tells us, you know, we will never stop struggling and building stronger coalitions to make sure that the things that are most popular, as you're seeing in the polls in Michigan and across in every single state that has voted, Medicare for All is a popular program that voters want and that voters need.
All right. Laureen Targos is Chief Steward and VP for AFGE Local 704, supporting Bernie Sanders in Illinois next week. Laureen, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right. There you go. Laureen Targos. Very interesting, and see if the Bernie Sanders crew will turn out for Bernie Sanders here in Illinois, or if chance, if it continued, goes in the route that it's going, will they back Joe Biden? That'll be the issue. More to come here on 720 WGN. Stay with us. All right, coming up, Dave Lundy's going to join us. Dave Lundy, a Democrat analyst, will be on the phone with us coming up to the 9 o'clock hour to give us his thought. Moderate Democrat, tell us why Joe Biden looks like the nominee as he has swept the first three states in tonight's Big Tuesday. And then also Chris Roebling going to join us. Talk about the Republican response to Joe Biden sweeping tonight so far. But still three states to go. Vic Vaughn will have more in the news. Stay with us. Justin Kaufman here, 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. We're talking about Big Tuesday election night here in America. We have projected states that have gone for the former Vice President Joe Biden: Mississippi, Missouri, and Michigan. Although we've heard from Bernie Sanders supporters tonight that they're concerned that absentee ballots have not been counted. There's still long lines in Michigan, young people trying to vote. The states on the western seaboard, Washington and Idaho, which is not on the seaboard, but of course, and they're still an hour till they actually close. North Dakota, as you heard from Vic, has closed. They're just doing a caucus. So everyone's just yelling at each other. So they figure out. You'd think the minute that what happened in Iowa this year, everyone who was doing caucuses would be like, you know, nope, we're switching to primaries, but not in North Dakota. So let's talk some more about what we think of the results and about this election cycle. Dave Lundy joins us. Dave is a political analyst who is a Democrat in town, longtime contributor to my programs. Dave, great to have you, buddy. How are you?
Hey, Justin. I am great. No coronavirus here.
Good to know. Good to know. So what do you think of these? Were you, as a longtime political analyst, are you surprised by the results tonight?
No. You know, I don't want to be uncharitable, but this election is over. It clearly was over going into today. This is exactly what I expected, although I did not expect the margin in Michigan to be as significant as it looks like it's going to be. I mean, look, the party needs to coalesce. It needs to coalesce early. You know, almost every Democrat said there's nothing more important than beating Trump. So if that's the case, then we've got to, you know, come together.
Let me take a break, Dave. Only I'm going to put you on hold because it's the same thing. I'm having some phone troubles tonight, and I'm kind of going in and out. So Pete will check it out. I don't know if it's the wind or something. It's like the old phone lines that we have in our studio. But Dave Lundy, our political analyst, will get his phone figured out. We've had no luck tonight, but we're trying. Like I said, we're talking about the election tonight. So we're talking about some states that still haven't come together. But what Dave just said is that, you know, and we heard this a little bit from Carol Felsenthal as well, this concept of whether or not the candidates who in this case would be Bernie Sanders or maybe Tulsi Gabbard or even Elizabeth Warren, who has not said who she's going to throw her support behind, should coalesce around one candidate in the party. It's the best way for the Democrats to move forward, do that sooner than later. Is there a chance that the Sanders campaign would see the writing on the wall from tonight and possibly hang it up. I don't know if that's the case. To be honest with you, I had said in the last segment that perhaps, you know, you could see Illinois playing a crucial role. I want to ask Dave about. Is Dave back? Can I try him again? All right, let's turn Dave Lundy back on the phone. How are you, buddy? Give me what you have for breakfast.
I had a bar for breakfast, is what I had.
You're good. You're good. All right. So, Dave, so the idea, let's pick it right back up again, coalescing around a candidate. Are you suggesting that the Sanders campaign should wrap it up here before the delegate count actually favors the former vice president?
Well, the delegate count does favor the former vice president.
Well, he gets to the 1900 or 1991.
You know what? That's what he did in 2016, and we went to the convention with a lot of anger. You know, his strategist kept going on television saying, well, it's not over, and you know, they accused the Democratic Party of theft, and the reality is he just lost.
Right.
You know, this is something that a lot of political friends of mine and I have been talking about all year. You know, the notion that the Democratic Party had suddenly become a socialist party, we thought was in error, in significant error. Because when you go to the center of this country, when you go to, you know, so many places where Democrats are, you know, it's not a left-wing party. It's a moderate, liberal, moderate, progressive party. And so it didn't surprise anybody that Bernie was topping out in the 30% range, 30, 35, maybe even 40 in some places. But that's not a winning majority, and it's not a winning coalition. And at the end of the day, if we're going to get together and beat Donald Trump, we have to do this sooner. Because I will tell you, Justin, I was at the convention last time. In fact, I think I went on the show right after Hillary's speech with you, and mm-hmm. and there was a lot of anger among Bernie folks throughout the entire convention. You would occasionally hear outbursts from you know, from Bernie people, and it was really not conducive to coming together.
The amount, I mean, because it's still still a race here. I mean, obviously Joe Biden is pulling away in the big states, and Michigan, Bernie really needed to have Michigan, but they're still closer than say a blowout when you look at the delegate count. Is it important for the DNC, for the moderate Democrats, for the people who've lined up to support Joe Biden, to reach out and try to bring the Sanders people into the party, or are they just not going to talk to each other?
No, it's absolutely critical that they reach out, and it's critical that they reach out, that they're magnanimous, that they find ways to be generous of spirit. I think that they will, and I think it's going to happen. I'm sure it's already happening, and you know. Hey, look, I know what you're saying about how it's not a blowout yet, but the reality is that everybody expected Joe Biden to be losing the race from a delegate perspective after Super Tuesday. He was going to win. You know, Bernie was going to win California in a walk. Some people had talked about him winning all of California's delegates at one point. And at the end of the day, you know, Biden won 10 of the contests, including states that Bernie was a surefire winner, like Texas. And then in California, he only won it. I think by the time all the votes are counted, he's going to probably win by like two or three votes and pick up an extra 30, 40 delegates. Those were his opportunities. And Michigan was another one. That was a must win. And so when you look at the race today and you look at the races going forward, it's impossible to see an opportunity for Bernie Sanders to add a bunch of delegates.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it is a delegate race. And Bernie himself, when he was leading the delegates, said the person who goes into the convention with the majority of the plurality of delegates should win. We're not going to be in a plurality situation. Joe Biden's going to have a clear majority of the delegates going into going into the convention, going to Milwaukee.
Yeah, Dave Lundy, go ahead, finish up.
Oh no, we just can't wait. Yeah. You just can't wait until the last minute and cling to some strange hope that where the math just doesn't work.
Okay, well I'm going to take a quick break because I want to talk to you more. I have a couple more questions. Dave Lundy, longtime Democratic analyst, political analyst here in town, is on the line, and we'll take a quick break. We'll come back more with Dave on the results of the primary in Missouri, in Mississippi, in Michigan. We don't know anything about Idaho or Washington. The polls haven't closed there. North Dakota. I don't know. What are they doing? They're doing a caucus there. Classic North Dakota. All right, we'll take a quick break. Dave Lundy with us. Stay with us. 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, 312-981-7200, talking about the election tonight, the big Tuesday election. And Dave Lundy's on the line with us now. Dave, before we get to talking about Illinois, let's continue on thoughts about bringing the party together. Yeah. Let me try you there. Are you there? Dave, do I have you? Oh, we're not having any luck here. All right, let me unlock it. There we go.
Sorry, I had you on mute. That's okay. I hate when that happens.
I thought it was our phones again, but it's on your end. But go ahead.
Just one quick point I want to make, and it's about bringing the party together. I don't think anybody should be pressuring Bernie Sanders right now. I actually don't expect him to drop out until after the March 17th primaries in Illinois and other states. I think he needs time. You know, he clearly has a significant base of supporters in the Democratic Party, and I think that we need to treat him with dignity, and we need to be gracious, and eventually he'll come to the right decision. I just hope it's, you know, within a couple of weeks as opposed to a couple of months.
Yeah, Dave, it's interesting, the splits. Does it concern you as a Democrat, the splits where Joe Biden is doing very well with an older voter, but just doing really poor with a younger voter? The younger voter, when you start parsing out who's voting for who, I mean, the numbers are staggering. There's not, people do are not at, anyone under the age of 25 is not necessarily connecting with Joe Biden.
Yeah, no, it definitely is concerning. I think that I think there are lessons to be learned from the Sanders campaign. Not necessarily that you adopt his platform, but there definitely are lessons in learning how to appeal to Joe, to you know, the younger voters. I think it's interesting though, because when you look at the somebody did an analysis today of the percentages that Bernie of the electorate in the first 10, 15, 20 contests, whatever it is at this point, and compare 2016 to 2020, and in every single case, the younger voter was a smaller percentage of the electorate in 2020 than they were in 2016. So, you know, the whole theory of, well, young voters will carry me to victory has been, you know, something that's been said by a lot of failed candidates, not elected officials. That said, clearly Biden has a connection problem with younger voters. Clearly he's going to have to figure that out. And I, you know, I think that there is going to have to be a lot of people who work hard at trying to help Biden. That, and by the way, let's not forget the most important Democrat who, once this nomination is secured, Barack Obama is going to be huge for Joe Biden.
Yeah.
I think Barack's going to help a great deal. I think that Bernie Sanders, at the end of the day, is going to help a great deal. Nobody wants a repetition of 2016.
It is interesting, because when you look at today is a good example, and we'll put Trump aside for a second, but today in Cleveland, you saw both the Sanders campaign and the Biden campaign cancel their rallies because of coronavirus. You're seeing a debate on Sunday that's not going to have an audience. You're seeing a change in the way that these campaigns are run. You've been around politics your entire life. You know how campaigns are run. How much of this disruption at this time is, how much does it matter to candidates who are vying for not just the nomination on the Democrat side, but the incumbent as well?
Oh, it matters a great deal. And it's, look, coronavirus is such an enormous externality. It's an external factor that nobody can control, and frankly, nobody can really predict. You know, right now there's a big debate in Chicago over whether we cancel the, you know, the St. Patrick's Day parade. They've already canceled it in Dublin and in Boston. But politicians thrive. They draw energy from the crowds. They draw energy from the adoring crowds. Obviously, everybody knows Trump does with his rallies. That's why he has all these rallies all over. But it's really impossible to say how this is all going to play itself out. I don't think we should really be focusing on the politics of this. Mm-hmm. But you know, on the one hand, you could say, well, Trump's going to be hurt because he's not going to get to do all these rallies, and he's going to become more, you know, angry and whatever. On the other hand, Joe Biden's not going to get to introduce himself to the American people with the convention and with tens of thousands of adoring crowd,
right,
fans. That's a big bump to a nominee who's not an incumbent, is when you go to the convention, you give your speech, and you see everybody is rallying around the candidate. And, I mean, it's a huge deal. So,
I was going to say, is that, are you suggesting, because Carol was on, Carol Felsenthal was on saying the same thing, that there's a real question about whether or not the political conventions will happen this summer if coronavirus continues in the way that it's doing right now. That has to, again, back to disruption. It's not about, I'm not politicizing coronavirus, but the coronavirus's effect on the political process will be felt, right? That how do they, I mean, as someone who's worked in campaigns, you have to start being creative about how you deal with technology and things like that to capture that moment, that what you're talking about right there.
You can't replace 20,000 people screaming your name. With Skype, it just doesn't work that way. It's just going to be a different kind of campaign. Now, one could argue, if one is concerned about one's candidate's performance in front of a crowd, that you might be better off not constantly going in front of a crowd.
Right.
Again, that's why I'm saying it's just. It's too early to know how this is going to play itself out. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with these large scale events. I can't even tell you if Congress is going to keep meeting, or if the Illinois legislature is going to keep meeting. We're so far into the unknown realm, and I'm not trying to be alarmist. I literally have no idea whether a month from now Illinois is going to have 20 cases or 20,000 cases. It'll help once we actually start testing people to know whether they have it.
Right.
So it's really, just honestly, it's too early, as they say in political prognostication, too early to call the effect of that.
One more question before I let you go. And the question is that today there was some articles written about the Trump campaign, and you've seen this, that they have really zeroed in on if Biden is going to be the guy, they're really going to go on whether or not he's mentally fit to be president. That seems to be the attempt by the campaign to push on Biden. And we've had pushback tonight on the program and others saying that's a good political strategy. What do you think of that strategy?
You know what? When you're talking about a guy, an incumbent, who has literally started slurring words in the middle of big public speeches, and there's lots and lots and lots of video of Trump just all of a sudden, he's supposed to be saying something and word salad comes out. I'm not really sure that's a great strategy on their part. I mean, they could go after Biden along those lines, and they will, and the Russians will, and the bots will. I'm not actually sure that doesn't backfire on them. They tried that with Hillary, but Hillary had that moment where she collapsed and she was ill and she was caught on camera. That's what fed that. And so we'll see what happens, whether, Biden has a moment like that. And if he doesn't, I think it's going to fail.
Always good. Dave Lundy joining us here to talk a little bit about the results and analyze what's happening on Big Tuesday here in the United States of America. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Justin. Good to be with you.
It's good to have him. All right, coming up is counterpart Chris Roebling right after the news here. Or I'm sorry, not the news, the break. Okay, Chris Roebling, we haven't talked to Republicans. Obviously, the incumbent is in charge. There haven't been as many Republican primaries. But what do the Republicans, obviously have something to say about Joe Biden and what they think of Joe Biden, his victories tonight, and whether or not the strategies we've been talking about are effective. Chris Roebling will join us right after the break here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Justin Kaufman with you here, 312-981-7200. The polls close on the West Coast for Idaho and the state of Washington in about 30 minutes. And the state of North Dakota is in a caucus right now, and it's too close to call, or they just haven't reported it, although there are results coming in now. And it looks like it's right at the beginning, so it's just a couple hundred votes. The projected states that are going to the former vice president, Mississippi, Missouri, and Michigan. Michigan, a big haul for Vice President Joe Biden. course, Bernie Sanders won that state in 2016, and there was a lot of push to win it again in 2020 if he was going to stay in this race. But Joe Biden, the projected winner, although many Sanders delegates and others here in the state of Illinois who support him, were on tonight's talking about they're not sure that the votes have been counted correctly and things like that. But I don't know if any of that stuff is enough to overcome the lead that the former vice president has in the state of Michigan. We're talking to a lot of Democrats tonight about the Democratic primary, but one area we haven't talked about are Republican primaries. They're not really in play this time around when it comes to the presidential race, of course, because of the incumbent President Trump. Chris Roebling is a Republican analyst, strategist, and he joins us on the line. Chris, thanks for joining us. Good to talk to you, bud.
Hey, good to be with you, Justin. How you doing?
Good. So let's get right into it. As you watch this as an observer of the of what's happening on the other side of the aisle, what are your thoughts about Joe Biden running away with this?
I think that Biden is a beneficiary of a party that wants very badly to beat President Trump and has decided that defeating Trump with the front runner is more important than, say, expressing support for a particular program enunciated by Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm. So in that, I think Democrat primary voters have chosen unity over ideology.
Chris, I'm going to put you on hold real quick. This is becoming consistent. I'm having phone troubles. I don't know what the issue is. Did we not pay our phone bill here? For some reason, on our first, the last couple calls we've had in, we've had to reset because of clicking and just bad signals. We'll get Chris back on the line here. Chris Roebling, Republican analyst, talking about what he sees tonight. And I want to get his take on the thought of a Biden-Trump race in 2020 in the general election. 312-981-7200. Pete's getting Chris Roebling back on the phone. Like I said, some of the results are coming in the state of North Dakota, which is a very small, it's a pledge delegates are only 14 in North Dakota. So it's not going to have a huge impact on the delegate counts, but it'll be interesting because it is a caucus state and Sanders does well in caucus states. Let's bring Chris back in. Hopefully you got it figured out. Okay, back to it, Chris. The idea or prospect of a Joe Biden, Donald Trump general election, how do you feel about that?
Well, I think it's going to be the most hard-fought presidential campaign of my lifetime. And I've seen a few of these now. There's no question in my mind that Democrats have decided to rally around Biden. A lot of big questions remain with that, like, you know, running mate. But the fact is, they're all in on defeating Trump, and they chose unity over ideology tonight. When Michigan goes as it did, very big for Biden, then you're seeing Democrats come together in a way that Republicans who had reservations about Trump 4 years ago didn't. You know, they couldn't get together behind whoever, you know, Ted Cruz or whoever was still in the race at this point. But the Democrats have done that, and Sanders is going to be disappointed. I think a big question for the party, they're saying that getting the traditional elements together behind Biden is more important than catering to the folks who have been backing Bernie, right? Mm-hmm. And we'll see how that works out in the fall. It's too early to tell.
Obviously, you've worked on campaigns. You know politics pretty well. When the country is facing the fears of coronavirus and you see rallies as they were canceled tonight in Cleveland and possibly canceled with the president. The president still says his is on in Milwaukee. But the idea that this is a disruption to the way that campaigns are run, especially when you're in the throes of going from state to state, is that going to have an impact on how these campaigns are run and what we should expect as voters?
Honestly, I think that it probably ends up favoring Biden over Bernie because I think it's going to remove whatever remaining chance Bernie had at motivating his folks to come out. But really, if he couldn't do it in Michigan, it's going to be highly doubtful. Here in Illinois, he held an unimpressive rally over the weekend. As you know, Justin, it was not a big deal, big event. And I think Illinois is going to be right in the Joe Biden column. On Tuesday, when we have our primary. So I think that the coronavirus fears of large groups will hamper both Democrats and the president, but at this moment is going to end up helping Biden and hurting Sanders. Hmm.
You know, for the Republican side, obviously there have been some states that didn't even do primaries this time around. It obviously has more to do with the down ballot stuff. But, you know, when you look at the Republican Party and the health of the party coalescing around the president, is it stronger? Obviously, it's stronger than 2016. But are the Republicans feeling strong about their incumbent and their chances in November?
I think they feel very good about Trump. Well, let me put an asterisk and get right back to that. But I think that down ballot for the Republicans this year is a tough one. And I'll tell you why. Many states still show at the grassroots level some of the divisions that existed in the primary race 4 years ago. I would put Illinois in that column. I don't want to bore your listeners, but I mean, there are a lot of different ways that this is playing out right now on the Republican side. And as unifying as Trump has been on the Republican side, now this is my asterisk. I don't think that Republicans should feel confident about November at all. I think that if the Democrats get together, there are a lot of them, and there are a lot of, you know, things they can do between now and then that make them very strong. So folks on both sides ought to be waking up every morning like they're 3 or 4 points behind, going out to work just that much more.
Chris, I from time to time, and I'm going to do it on the program tonight, I'll ask the callers about the issues they care about. Forget about the politicians. Forget about the cult of personality. Just what are the issues that really get you to the polls? As a Republican and watching how the Republican Party is operating, what are the issues they're going to run on? What are the issues that they say are the most important to the American people?
Peace and prosperity, or I think put more plainly, prosperity and peace, jobs and peace. I think folks are going to, I think that the job creation thing until, you know, last Friday when we found out about February has just been terrific. And I'm not taking anything away from Obama. You know, he once things got put right in 2009, 2010, he turned in, as you recall, you and Dave Lundy and I talked about this many times. Things were steady and they were growing, and things generally went in the right direction. Under Trump, that has accelerated, and that leads to this sense, I think, of great hope on the Republican side that Trump is going to do unexpectedly well in the minority communities because of the number of jobs that have been created. I think on the prosperity side, you're looking at, on the peace side, you're looking at kind of two things. He stood up to China. We've turned things around in that relationship. We came up with a new NAFTA. But Europe seems to be taking a bigger role. And, you know, he's kind of getting out of Afghanistan in a cognizable fashion. And the Middle East has held together. And he, despite all of the pronouncements, you know, he's a warmonger and he's itchy trigger finger. He has not gone to war with Iran. He is trying diplomatically and economically to turn over the Iranian situation. And I think it's tough for anyone to face a president with that kind of record.
Chris, it's interesting. We talked about this many times on this program, but the idea that the swing states in question in 2016, Wisconsin, Ohio, Florida to an extent, they seem to go for President Trump, and that was a big surprise, and he's reminded us of that the last 4 years. But
sure.
But can he count on that again? We saw Michigan right here as a good example tonight, a state that went really for Bernie Sanders against Hillary Clinton tonight, do a 180, turn around and go for Biden over Sanders. I mean, obviously 4 years makes a huge difference. Can he count on that Rust Belt vote, and that swing vote that's in the middle of the Midwest like he did in 2016?
Look, I'm confident that Trump's going to pull this thing out, but I'm going to answer your question, Justin, with an unequivocal no, he can't. And if he begins to count on anybody's vote, he's gone off in the wrong direction. His campaign has got to start every morning like, you know, it is today or never. I mean, and he cannot you're absolutely right to point to the Michigan situation. The other thing that is going to be very important in the morning is to look at the overall turnout. Generally, Democrats have been turning out as much as they have in the past in these primaries. It indicates a little bit of flaccid interest in the election. But that might change by November. But I want to say, no one should take anything for granted. Hillary took Wisconsin for granted, and she spent the last 4 years regretting it. And if Trump takes something for granted, he could very well be regretting it in, you know, the morning after the election.
There seemed to be Chris Roebling's on the line with me, but there seemed to be a bunch of different ways that the Trump campaign were going to look to attack Democrats this time around. It looks like they are going with the cult of personality, as there was a big story today about how they're really going to go after the fact that Joe Biden is not mentally fit to be president. They've put the splice, they spliced together the gaffes, you know, they had all the videos and things like that. And you could see a concerted, you know, concentrated effort to point that out. Trump is now saying that every which way he can, tweeting it. Do you think that's a good strategy for the president of the United States in this election coming up in 2020?
I think that they've got to be talking about promises made and promises kept. And I think that the attack on the other side, when you're an incumbent, has got to be very surgical, and it can't be broad. I think that the Biden problem for the Democrats is that he is speaking in shorter sentences. He is speaking for briefer periods of time. He is not as active in his schedule. I'm not going to say that he's enfrailed, but he is not robust. There are no five ways about it, and all it takes is watching uncut videos to get that. So Justin, they've got a problem, but he was there when they needed him to rally around. I have said, you know, to friends, they might be recruiting Valerie Jarrett to serve a third term as president. And by that, Justin, I mean, you know, if you know Barack Obama, you know that he's not exactly engaged in policy, and he was very happy to have Valerie calling the shots in the White House because he didn't have to.
And I love the Valerie Jarrett call out.
I think we're basically looking at the real question now, and this is a very Chicago question, and it's going to go right to the heart of what the Democrats are going to try and put over. They're going to say Biden is their candidate, but they aren't telling us who's going to be president.
That's interesting. Chris Roebling, always a pleasure to have the Republican analyst and strategist on the program. Chris, thanks for joining. Talk soon.
Hey, yep. Great to be with you, Justin. Good to be in touch.
All right. So a lot of great voices tonight talking about the big Tuesday results. Of course, in a couple of minutes, I would say in about 15, 20 minutes, the West Coast states of Idaho and Washington will come in. Right now, Joe Biden is going to speak soon from Philadelphia. I believe that's where he's at now. And of course, like we said, North Dakota is a caucus, and those numbers are kind of coming in slow. We'll take a quick break here, and we will continue the conversation. 312-981-7200. I've heard from a ton of pundits, a ton of experts. I want to hear from you. You want to talk about what you thought of the results tonight, what you think where this race is going? And also some of the things we brought up about the general election in 2020. 312-981-7200. Your time to shine. Stay with us. Joe Biden is speaking right now in, I think he's in Philadelphia. I'm not sure where he's at.
State.
Let's hear it.
As I said from the beginning, this election is one that has character on the ballot. The character of the candidates, the character of the nation is on the ballot. It's more than a comeback, in my view, our campaign. It's a comeback for the soul of this nation. This campaign is taking off, and I believe we're going to do well from this point on. Take nothing for granted. Want to earn every single vote in every single state. But if you're willing, if you want to join us, go to joebiden.com. Sign up, volunteer, and contribute if you can. We need you. We want you. And there's a place in our campaign for each of you. And I want to thank Bernie Sanders and his supporters for their tireless energy and their passion. We share a common goal, and together we'll defeat Donald Trump. We'll defeat him together. We're going to bring this nation together. We're regenerating a Democratic base, the Democratic Party, the African-American community, high school-educated folks like the ones I grew up with in Claymont, not far from here, in my old neighborhood, labor, suburban women, veterans, firefighters, union members, and so many more. People of every economic station, the poor who are struggling, and they are struggling in this environment, the middle class worries about whether or not they're going to be able to hang on and stay there, maintain their economic security. They're the reason Jill and I got involved in this campaign in the first place. And they're the reason why I became a Democrat so long ago. And I can't tell you, I really mean this from the bottom of my heart, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the confidence they've shown in me thus far and the way they turned out to vote for me. In my first campaign, when I was a kid, a long time ago, I had a billboard that said one thing on it. Had a picture of my wife and children, and it said, "For all our families." That's all it was, "For all our families." That included Democratic families, families of independent voters, Republican families, everyone of every stripe, "For all our families." And look, that's what we're able to accomplish in South Carolina. That's what we did on Super Tuesday. And it appears, although it's a little premature, it appears that's what we're able to do tonight. In just the past week, so many of my incredibly capable competitors have endorsed me. Mayor Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, Beto O'Rourke, Mike Bloomberg, Cory Booker, and Kamala Harris. Together we're bringing this party together. That's what we have to do. Tonight, we are a step closer to restoring decency, dignity, and honor to the White House. That's our ultimate goal. Yes. And at this moment, when there's so much fear in the country, and there's so much fear across the world, we need American leadership. We need presidential leadership that's honest, trusted, truthful, and steady. Reassuring leadership. If I'm given the honor of becoming your president, I promise you I'll strive to give the nation that very leadership. Every day, I have a privilege to hold office. That's the reason why I'm running for president. I believe we're in an incredible moment in American history, a phenomenal opportunity to deliver a bold, progressive vision to the American people, guaranteeing that every American has health care, affordable health care, total health care, not a privilege, but a right. Building on Obamacare, providing every child access to good education, regardless of their zip code, to deal with the moral depravity of our children who have to learn as they go to school, little children, to duck and cover, zigzag down a hallway because they fear someone with a semi-automatic weapon may be coming in. We have to stand up to the gun manufacturers and to the NRA, and I will do it. We have to rebuild the middle class. We have to rebuild the middle class. And this time, bring everybody along. Everybody along. And my fellow Americans, we have to once again lead the world. Donald Trump's America First policies made America alone. You know, in the fight against climate change, we have to rally the rest of the world to act, and act now. Rejoin the Paris Climate Accord on day one. Make it clear to our allies that we'll honor our commitments, that our word can be trusted.
make clear to our adversaries that we will stand fast and restoring world order. That's the American responsibility. Tonight, I'm speaking to you from the National Constitution Center, not far from where two of the most important documents in all of history were written.
That's Joe Biden, the former vice president, after big victories tonight in the primaries in Michigan, in Mississippi, and Missouri. We'll have more coming up, and Vic Vaughn will have some more results as the polls close out west, so stay with us. Justin Kaufman here, 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. We heard from the pundits tonight. We heard from the experts. We want to hear from you, 312-981-7200. What do you think of tonight's primary results and big Tuesday results? And also all the topics we've been talking about, how it's all going to play out in the general election, the fears of coronavirus and how it may disrupt the political process, and of course, what it means for the state of Illinois, which is next week. Looking at the numbers a little bit, last week I talked to a couple of people tonight just saying next week, oh, it could be, you know, Florida, Ohio, Arizona, and Illinois. It could be it for Joe Biden if he sweeps. I'm still not sure. Even if he took every single delegate that was available, which is impossible, but if he did that next week, that he would have the 1,991 that he would need. There, when you really look at it, you look towards April 28th, which is pretty far ways away, right? Wisconsin is April 7th. And that's just, I'm not sure. There's Wyoming is April 4th. They're not big enough. But when you look at April 28th, you start to get the northeastern states that haven't been. New York, of course, with 274 delegates. Pennsylvania, 186. There's a couple Delawares in there. There could be a point where Joe Biden clinches for this home state of Delaware. That seems to be the date that might be more. Maryland is in that one as well. It doesn't surprise me. That's all, you know. New York and Washington, D.C., they get the win. they get to host the parade when it comes. But that's April 28th. So there's a little bit of time, unfortunately, after March 17th's primary, which is, of course, next week. He got to go a little bit of ways to April 28th. So I don't know what's going to happen in that month's time, but something to look at. Right now, the results are coming in from Washington, Idaho, and North Dakota. The results early, and we're talking about very early, not many precincts reporting. I think it's 18% in Washington. The lead is for Joe Biden, who has a 5,000 vote lead there. Still a long way to go. In Idaho, Joe Biden is also leading. Not a lot of vote in, 3%, 4%. So Joe Biden leading in Idaho, which was kind of a stretch for Bernie Sanders. It seemed like that might be a Biden state. And then North Dakota, we're kind of waiting on what happens with the caucus. That is in North Dakota. But so far, Michigan, Missouri, and Mississippi all go for Joe Biden tonight. 312-981-7200. Against a lot of the great Texan, I want to get to these. 870 says, perhaps Biden is talking like he is, talking about the speech he just did, as a strategy, countering Trump's aggressive style with a kindly grandfather style that does not yell. Possible. I know one of the issues, of course, the Trump campaign is going to seize upon are gaffes, and gaffes seem to be plenty, as we heard from Carol Felsenthal and others tonight, that even today on the campaign trail, he's threatening to take somebody outside. But with Biden, to hear his speech, he was very calm, composed, and measured in what he was talking about. And once again, he said he wanted to bring character back to the White House. He wanted to bring dignity, respect back to the White House. He's talking in these broad strokes, not about necessarily the issues that Democrats stand for, but the temperament. Is that the strategy that we'll see from the Biden camp? I mean, obviously, the Democrats have a anyone-but-Trump approach, as they have all coalesced behind the moderate that's Joe Biden. He's brought you heard Chris Roebling say this, he brought the party together. And that is important, because the last time around, it wasn't necessarily together when Bernie Sanders was still, and supporters were still kind of wreaking havoc by the DNC back in 2016, or the Democratic National Convention, which would have been in July in 2016. So this is already a start, but is that as Trump will go after whether or not Biden is mentally fit, it seems that Biden's going to go after a we need to bring back dignity to the White House. And you heard tonight as well, so many great points made by the pundits that joined us. Perhaps this is all designed to be a one-term president. That the Democrats are saying Joe Biden is our guy to get behind. It's a one-termer. He's not going to be there for more than 4 years, but the goal is to just stop the political bleeding, if you will, and be able to pick the right VP candidate who can serve as the incumbent when re-election comes around in 2024. What do you think of that idea? 870 says, Bernie lost the young voters when free college was taken off the table. 847 says, Biden gaffes. Have we forgotten about Trump when he thought Colorado bordered Mexico? I did. And that's a hard sell. I am completely with you, 847. It's a hard sell for me to get into a gaffe game. I'm just trying to be objective about the whole thing. We have, as the American people, come to excuse the gaffe. And there have been plenty that have been pointed out by me. I mean, that's what's led to the fake news phenomenon, right? This idea that the news goes so crazy about everything the president says. Every time he misspeaks and every time he says something goofy, you got to put it up on Twitter. So the idea that the Trump campaign is going to do the same to Biden, maybe that's fair play. But it's obviously something that the American people are going to say, I've got a question. You guys are all doing gaffes, right? Gaffe culture? Is this gaffe culture? Okay, just wanted to make sure. 312-981-7200, the text coming in here. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. I want to talk about the story today that the St. Patrick's Day Parade, the Irish Parade, the classic here in Chicago where they dye the river green, is scheduled for Saturday. Boston, Dublin, Belfast, several, New York, I mean, everybody has canceled due to coronavirus fears. But the city of Chicago is like, well, let's just see. That's prompted the mayor to come back early for vacation. She's going to get back in here and say that thing is canceled. But it brings up the idea of who's in charge of canceling these big events. Because on one hand, you'll say public officials, public health officials have said this large event is not a good idea, so we're canceling Coachella, right? But then on the other hand, you have the president tonight who says, you know what? All this stuff is fear. I'm going ahead with my rally in Milwaukee on Tuesday. So what are we supposed to make of that? What are we supposed to make of the fact that conference tournaments for March Madness are being canceled? In some cases, they're going to play without crowds. But the actual NCAA March Madness tournament, the one we all love and make so much money, yeah, still on. Let's talk about that. 312-981-7200. Stay with us. Justin Kaufman here. Back at 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio coming up at 11 o'clock. We've been covering the primaries and the caucuses on the Democratic side tonight. Big Tuesday. Super Tuesday was Tuesday before. This is Super Tuesday 2. Electric Boogaloo. Projected states so far have Mississippi, Missouri, and the surprise of the night. Now, I don't know if it's a surprise, but a definite blow to the Sanders campaign. Joe Biden wins in Michigan. In Washington right now, Joe Biden, with 60% of the vote in, has a very, very small lead. But it's enough that even if Bernie Sanders at this point pulls it out, he pulls ahead and he wins the state of Washington, the delegate count's going to be split. So that's not a win for Sanders, because he's supposed to do well in the state of Washington. He's supposed to do well in the city of Seattle. So that's not great for him, because that's going to be a split. It's not a loss, but it's going to be a split. When you look at the neighboring state of Idaho, it's starting to be a runaway for the former Vice President Joe Biden. So big night for Joe Biden, who looks to be widening his lead, not only in the delegate count, but in the hearts of Democrats. What's that mean for the general election? 312-981-7200, our phone number. 412 says, my city has not canceled the St. Patrick's Day parade that's scheduled for Saturday. But all the masks and the hand sanitizers sold out. I think it was 847 here. It says it's all about the money. Insurance companies or sponsors are making these decisions based on these big, large events, not some governmental official or government mandate. And that's interesting. That's where we're at. Maybe that's where it should be, because that's the kind of system we run, right? We run a capitalistic system and money wins out. But the idea that, you know, you're absolutely right, because of South by Southwest or Coachella, they're closing not because they're in fear of people getting sick or they're trying to do public safety. They're postponing and moving it because most of their sponsors are not sending anyone, because they've, you know, if you're Netflix or you're Twitter or you're a beer or a liquor festival, or I'm sorry, a sponsor, you're already told your employees you're not going, or maybe they pulled their sponsorship. And so a place like Coachella is like, well, we don't really have any options, so why don't we say it's for public safety? And that's how they do it. Now, that's the question. When you start thinking about sporting events, and I felt bad for LeBron James. You know, LeBron James said a couple of days ago that he didn't want to play. He wouldn't want to play if it wasn't in front of fans, right? He revisited that, and he said when he was asked, I think it was today, he was asked, he said to the new reporters, he said, well, I was asked, the way the question was asked was a hypothetical. I did not realize that the league or the government or anyone was thinking about playing games with no crowd. I didn't realize that that's where the fear was when I was asked this question 7 days ago. It was more like, hey, would you be down with playing a game with no fans? Of course he's going to say no. And he couched it saying, listen, I'd be upset. That's why we play the game, for fans. But if it's public safety, I can understand. The issue I have with this whole sporting event closure thing, or the idea of playing games without crowds, is the league seems to, and it's such a weird thing, the league seems to want to do it for player safety. Have you heard this? Player safety. You know, there's so many people that are going to be in there, and someone can come up with the coronavirus, and our power forward could get it. Right? The media, the dirty media, they can't come in the locker room because you know them. They don't wash their hands. And they're going to come in there, and they're just going to sneeze all over our starting point guard. And I find it to be somewhat disingenuous, because in my head, I'm like, wouldn't the concern be for the paying customer who would have to go into a arena and someone paid a ticket who had coronavirus and it spread that way? Are you really concerned that LeBron James might get coronavirus? What are you talking about? Is that, what's that cover for? First of all, you don't get that close to those guys. Everything I've read about the coronavirus is you have to be in pretty close proximity, within 6 feet, and you have to actually, you know, get spittled on for you to get it. So the idea that they're concerned about the safety of Kobe White or Zach LaVine, have you been to a Bulls game? You can't. I mean, if you really wanted to cover that, why not just expand the court? Meaning there's no front row anymore. Have it start in the 10th row, the 20th row, or maybe just the whole 100 level. You can't come anymore. You can only go in the 200 level. We need to put a containment around Zach LaVine. But this idea that player safety is the reason we don't want fans to be there, I don't understand that. I would think that it would be, they would be looking out for their fans in the way that they would just say, listen, we can't control, you know, a virus could spread. One sick person can come in and it can affect someone else who paid a ticket, and we just don't want to do that for public health. But for whatever reason, they just don't want to go there. They just say it's about their players and player safety. Maybe that's a union thing for the players. I don't know what it is, but it rubs me the wrong way. And it rubs me the wrong way because they're not all on the same page. They're just not. Meaning, here we are with March Madness. The NCAA doesn't care. Like, there will be, there are going to be conferences that aren't going to do their tournaments. And rightfully so. I think it's the Ivy League. You know, said, you know what, no conference. We're going to lose some money on this. Everyone's losing money. But Yale, you won the regular season. You get to go to the tournament. Right? Okay. I can handle that. And frankly, and I'll be the first to say this, if there's a concern about large groups and there's a concern about sporting events, and we don't want to get to a situation like is happening in Italy, where then today the number of deaths jumped to the highest it's ever been, why don't you shut the whole thing down? Why not say in 2020, asterisk, there was no NCAA champion? They do it for labor strikes. Why can't they just say, you know what, it's a ton of money, we lose the money, write it off. I'm sure the government's going to stimulus everybody out anyway, and NCAA will be the first one in line trying to get their money for the free labor for all the kids that play there. But the idea, I would not be destroyed if they said, you know what, no NCAA tournament this year. It's just bad timing. It's right in the middle of March. We're in the biggest of the epidemic of our lifetime. Let's just say you won your tournaments. Nobody's champ this year. Cool. Start back up next year and we'll see where we're at. I wouldn't have a problem with that, would you? I mean, I like the sport. I love it. I love watching it. I love being a part of it. I love the spirit of it. But I also am like, it's a sport. At the end of the day, I think our lives are probably more important, or the lives of those kids. But they're not talking about player safety in those situations. They're just talking about the NCAA is just, they don't even want it. It's almost like they get their head in the sand. They're like, well, let's just see what happens on March 15th. Let's see what happens on March 19th. Let's not make a decision yet because it's so much money. And so to me, I would argue that if you're going to cancel the St. Patrick's Day Parade, and you're going to cancel South by Southwest, and you're going to cancel political rallies, except if you're the president who just decided he's going to bully coronavirus, then go all out. Cancel the month of March when it comes to sports. We'll be okay. Cancel all of it. Cancel basketball. Cancel hockey. Cancel baseball. Just start it in May. First of all, for baseball, that's the greatest idea ever. Start the season in June. It would be great for the sport. Justin Kaufman here, 720 WGN. We'll take a quick break. 815 says Trump wants to go to Milwaukee, but today, and pointed out as well, and you're just getting these stories from everywhere. I think it was University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. They've extended their spring break after an employee at the university tested for coronavirus. And they plan to move classes online. The same day that the president's like, I'm going to Milwaukee, I don't care. And again, what message is trying to be sent there? That's what I don't understand about the move to, maybe it's just all posturing, that's what the president does. And then when he gets closer, he'll say, someone else made the decision. You know, I wanted to, you saw, I quoted. But in this case, I mean, the university there is taking precautions. The parades are being shut down. Everyone's thing is being shut down, but then we have the leader of the free world who is determined that it's all a hoax. I don't know what that means to continue to want to do rallies. Maybe it's an overreaction. Mike, is it an overreaction? Welcome to the show, bud.
It's a total overreaction. I think he's the biggest germaphobe there is. Mm-hmm. That's our president. Yeah. But I want people to live their own lives, and I think they're wise enough to say, okay, I think I'm good to go here, good to go there. If they're open, I want to protect my family.
Right.
I'm looking at my friends and stuff like that. I know who I'm hanging out with. I know where they've been.
Right. Well,
so it's not like, you know, it is a total reaction to it's an overreaction.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for listening. I agree. I mean, to an extent. I don't want to get into, because we did this yesterday where I started to read some of the numbers, and you know, it's a hard story, because I think that overreaction, there's a great story that I saw on Twitter today about the reaction from the South Korean government, from public health organizations there. And it showed it was all done in science and data and everything. But the minute that they realized that they had the coronavirus and epidemic, they jumped into action. They didn't think about money. They didn't think about sponsorships. They didn't think about whether or not they're going to close the St. Patrick's Day Parade. I don't know if they do that in South Korea. They just went into action. And the curve is much different than you see in China, that you see in Italy, and that you see in the United States. It's much smaller. The minute it got to a point where you saw where the South Korean government decided that they weren't going to play games, they took over. They made it a public health crisis. It wasn't about Coachella gets the choice, right? And South Korea is coming out of it. Now, I don't know how much one can come out of a virus epidemic like this, but there's something to be said that, yes, many, including leaders in this country, have said it's been an overreaction. So when some of our leaders were at the beginning of the cycle saying, you know what, this is just it's not a thing, it's not the flu. Flu is much worse. You know, right now we've got 15, it'll be zero. Hopefully it'll be zero in a day. Instead of that, in South Korea, they didn't have that. They didn't have that moment where there was political debate about it. They just jumped into action. And at a certain point, you kind of wish that would be the case. Now, I get it. It's hard. It's kind of apples and oranges. But it's this idea of what is an overreaction. And would you call, Mike, and thanks for the call, but would you say what's happening in Italy where they shut the entire country down, an overreaction? I don't know. We live in unprecedented times, and the unknown is very powerful. I'm not an alarmist. I agree in some cases about the overreaction, but at the same time, you can only look at what's in front of you and look at the data coming from other parts of the world. 312-981-7200. 815 said, the problem is it spreads too quickly. That's the problem. Faster than influenza. And there's something, he goes on to talk about, you know, the Trump rallies. And that's part of it. I mean, it's posturing. It's posturing this idea that I'm a tough guy. I'm a tough guy, and I'm going to show the world. And maybe that's good leadership. I'm going to show you, like, I'm going to drink the tainted water in Flint, Michigan, right? That kind of thing. But in doing so, you may show strength as a leader, but you're putting your followers in danger. What's to say that somebody comes in there with coronavirus and people get sick? What your message backfires? I don't know. I don't understand. At a little point, it seems like the risk in that situation may not be towards the president. It might be towards the people who are going to the rally. 773 says, back to politics. Do you think Joe Biden could pick Barack Obama to be his VP? I don't know. Could you do that? I guess you could do that. I don't think that there's any rule that says if you were once president, you can't be a vice president. I believe, and I'm not very good with my, I wish Blagojevich was my co-host, because he's really good with presidential trivia. Yeah, I said it. Me and Rod. Rod and Justin. Afternoons. He's really good with presidential trivia, and I believe there are a couple times in presidential history where that has happened, where presidents have become vice presidents in some form. Seems like that would be on a bar trivia. All right, everybody, it's the next category is presidents. I don't know. I would be more interested in Michelle Obama. Her name kind of got thrown around a little bit. I haven't heard as much, but wouldn't that be great? I don't know what kind of political experience when you're talking about vice president, but she did spend 8 years in the White House, and she has extreme experience. We could do a whole segment on who the vice president's going to be. Usually they go, what state do I need to win? That governor. That senator. Like Hillary Clinton did in 2016. What was it, Tim Kaine? Do you remember that? Do you remember how, as Democrats, the Democrats were so excited about the idea of who the vice president was going to be? Oh, maybe Clinton should pick Sanders. Or maybe she should pick Elizabeth Warren. She should pick another woman, right? Remember that they just kind of went, we really need to win Virginia, so how about the senator there? Tim Kaine! And you're like, this is such a mediocre pick. So hopefully Joe Biden doesn't do that. I like the idea. Make it saucy. Give me something out of the realm. Give me an Oprah Winfrey. Right? Give me a Scottie Pippen. I'll take a Scottie Pippen. I'm trying to think, like Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter being like stars that are somewhat squeaky clean who can make their transition. All they really did was play sports really well. That's who we need as a vice president. Joe Biden, a Biden Jeter ticket. Really work. A golfer would be good, right? 312-981-7200. Yeah. Michelle, who would you like to see from the pop culture realm, from outside of politics, run for vice president? And same on Donald Trump's side. If Trump was like, I'm done with Mike Pence. Good job. You did a great job with coronavirus. You're out. Like a Schwarzenegger? Oh, they don't like each other, right? Like they got at each other on Twitter. But yeah, that kind of thing would be great. Like who would Trump pick up to be the new vice president? Because they've thrown around Nikki Haley's name and some others. But if it were just a game to figure out what pop culture superstar you would like a Tom Brady, a Bill Belichick, right? Trump Belichick. That would be good. Hmm. 217. Tim in Urbana. Tim always writes in. I appreciate it. He makes a good point. Because of COVID-19, the NHL is having reporters do post-game interviews outside of the locker room. Like that's one of the things. They were one of the sports that did that. But he says, however, the league continues to be negligent of player conduct that causes concussions. That's a good point. There's not a big emergency session to talk about the underlying issues of concussions in sports, but virus for sure. 312-981-7200. There's so many stories that have been brought up, and it's some scary stuff. I think at the end of the day, when we start talking about coronavirus, and we've done it a lot on this program, and I feel very confident and very, I don't know, I feel very responsible is not the right word. I feel like we've been there kind of talking about this in a rational way since it started. And the one thing that I continue to preach on the program is that the numbers inevitably, it's just basic math, the numbers inevitably will go up. Do not let that scare you. It is not because the virus mutated. It's not because a government didn't do a good job containing it. This is a huge country, you guys. And the population center here is huge. And so the fact that we've only tested 5,000 Americans at this point, where places like South Korea have done 150,000, and China much more, and Italy on its way to that, it's just a number, is a numbers game. The reason the number is low right now is because we've only tested 5,000. You heard Vix News talking about 4 million of these tests are going to come online at the end of the week. That doesn't mean they're going to be 4 million tests. They're just starting to stockpile these tests. So physicians are going to be able to say, you know what, I think you might have something, let's test. Where now they're not able to do that. And that will make the numbers go up. And it may, the hope is from the scientific community and the public health community, is that you will see it become more in line with influenza in the mortality rate. Meaning you'll see that more tests will come online being positive and they won't necessarily lead to deaths, so that death rate will go down. We had a physician on, John Williams had a guy talking about the same thing a week ago. So that's the hope, right? That you'll start to see that kind of thing. But I respond to someone who said they're scared on text right here, but the urge that there will be more dumb graphics at the front of TV news in the next couple weeks. There are going to be scorching huge numbers being thrown at you. And it's going to play like this is surprising, it's urgent. It's an emergency situation. I'm not saying it's not, but it's going to play that way. There are going to be a lot of hashtag breakings. Breaking news. Another. And it's just inevitable that's going to happen. That's all you got to remember. So when you see like today, Illinois had 8 more cases that were added. A couple of people who had had encounters with school. You heard Vic's newscast about the middle schools, Glenbrook North, or I forgot the name, I'm sorry. Vic would have it. But that is going to happen. And so that's not something that you're looking, oh, geez, end of the world. The CDC has been warning you that this is happening in the last 2 to 3 weeks now. And it's now getting to that point. What you really want to pay attention to is China. I believe you look at Wuhan, China. That is where today I read a story about the quarantine being lifted in one of the areas in China. It might not be Wuhan, but one of the regions. 6 weeks. Obviously, different governmental structure, different way of life there. But 6 weeks. But they lifted it today, or in the last couple days. The added cases in Wuhan, China were under, 10 today? I think it was 7. It's the first time. I mean, the curve is going down. So I'm not saying that is indicative of what we're going to see in the United States of America, because we're at the beginning of the curve going up. But at least you're starting to see where the epicenter was, a cooling off or starting to ramp down. That could be the efforts of the government to quarantine, to restrict borders and travel, all that kind of stuff, whatever it might be. But at least you're starting to see that. And that has to be somewhat comforting in the way that you at least start to see, you know, the unknown become known. And that's something to look at as you look at the stories that you want to read about the coronavirus. And, of course, wash your hands. Which I've been doing really well. Here's the problem I have, you guys. I'm washing my hands, doing 20 seconds. You know, singing happy birthday twice, whatever I'm supposed to do. The problem is when I dry them, right? You dry them, I'm looking around, I can't find anything, so I just dry it on the button for the elevator. Oh, no. I shouldn't touch that. I shouldn't use that as a dryer. Now I got to wash my hands again. 312-981-7200. We'll take our last break here. Stay with us. 312-981-7200. Monitoring the election results out west as we are getting closer to projected. I guess in Idaho would be the one that they're projecting, because it's pretty close in Washington. But Idaho seems to be a runaway for Joe Biden. We have been talking about the election, the big Tuesday election for the Democratic primary tonight. Just getting you up to speed that Mississippi, Missouri, and Michigan went for the former Vice President Joe Biden. And right now we're waiting on results from Washington, the state of Washington, Idaho, and North Dakota. Now, in this case, it looks as if it's too early to call, but in Idaho, with only 40% actually reporting, Joe Biden with a pretty sizable lead there. In the state of Washington, Joe Biden has moved ahead. 68% of the vote is in. Joe Biden has a 260-vote lead. So it is a 60-vote lead in the state of Washington. As we said before, though, that's a win regardless for Joe Biden. The state of Washington is a pretty progressive state when it comes to the Democrats there. And so for Bernie Sanders to not win that handily means another poor night for the senator from Vermont. Bernie Sanders losing in the state of Michigan, a state that he really needed to win. The delegate count is widening. And Joe Biden is taking a commanding lead in the race. 312 says, running mate choices. Pop culture running mate choices. Justin Timberlake.
That's good.
The 15-year-old girl from Norway. Oh, Greta Thunberg. Yeah, I don't think she can run, but why not, right? Change it up a little bit. Serena Williams. That's a good one. Prince Harry. he's not royalty anymore, right? He's become an American citizen. And then 630 made a good point saying you can't really have a former president be vice president, because if something happened to the president, then the vice president becomes president again. Can't be president again, so then it would go to the House. I guess the third in command would be the Speaker of the House. I don't know. It sounds right. Pete, sounds right, right? I think 630 might be right. Very interesting. People are kind of talking about the move by the state of New York to put the National Guard to surround and contain the town of New Rochelle. And they're saying a militaristic crowd. I don't know. I don't think that they're coming in to be, you know, guns a-blazing. I think that's more of a humanitarian effort. A lot of times the National Guard is deployed when there's a hurricane or clean up for a tornado or something like that. So I can understand that an epidemic may fall under the same category. So I don't know if it's necessarily they're bringing tanks in to shoot the virus. Maybe they, I don't know. 412 says that Mayor Pete, he's just going to skip politics altogether, supposedly sitting in for Jimmy Kimmel this week. So maybe Mayor Pete's like, I'm out. I got a taste of the big time. Politics? Trying to help people's lives? What are you talking about? I'm going to be a talk show host. 319 says, how about Morgan Freeman as a VP? Yeah. What side? Well, I don't know what Morgan Freeman's politics are. I could see him as a good Trump VP. What the president is trying to say. That was a terrible Morgan Freeman. That's the one thing I did not do well in my life is come up with impressions. I feel like at a certain point, like in comedy or just in life, I should have spent more time figuring out how to do impressions. My impressions are terrible. I can't do a Trump. I can't do a Blagojevich. Yeah, okay, huh, huh. Rahm Emanuel. My Rahm Emanuel is so bad. My Rahm Emanuel is this. Wait, let me finish. What I'm trying to, because that's all I know him to do. He's always trying to get his last word in. But that's it. Maybe a John Travolta. Hey, so what? Yeah, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. Oh, all right. Tom Hanks, 630, says, what about Tom Hanks? Yeah? And 708, we'll give you the last word. Ozzie Guillen. Yes, I'm in. Yes. Ozzie Guillen. A Trump Guillen. I'd be into that. Or maybe it's a Biden Guillen, so then Ozzy and Trump can be on the other side of each other. That would be pretty good. I don't know. All right, we're off tomorrow night, Blackhawks tomorrow night, and so we'll be back on Thursday night. And I believe Friday night's Blackhawks as well, so we have one more show this week, which is Thursday. So that's coming your way. Nick DiGilio up next here on 720 WGN.